Tonight's episode of Heavy Meta is brought to you by Face-to-Face Games.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Welcome to Heavy Meta, your source for magic news, entertainment, and comedy.
What is up, you dirty cunts? I'm Kevin Metal.
And I'm Maddie Studios.
I'm Richie Gumby.
And I'm Tristan Gregson, and tonight on Heavy Meta, we may talk about Magic Online. We may talk about MTG Finance. We may talk about actually playing this game and not just giving it the giant middle finger. Who knows? The
we whole point is it's going to be jumping trains.
Yeah, that's right. You
it's
keep doing
story
maze.
Time tonight because we have the one, the only, possibly
the saltiest
the best guest host.
The saltiest.
Maybe the saltiest. You don't even know. I'm not even sure. I think there are saltier people. He just happens to be the best flavored salt, because he is quite the cook.
Ooh.
Marcel, how you doing this evening?
Oh, man, I'm feeling extra special now. You guys just made my head that much bigger. I swear.
It can't get any bigger, no.
I mean, I could have drowned it on, but people fucking cut me off, Kevin. So, you know, like I would say, amazing community
builder.
Wow,
he is angry. Angry that Kevin got him off of his knee pads there.
Son of a bitch. Would you say I derailed you?
Oh!
Jokes that may or may not make the podcast after the fact. People may know not what the fuck we're talking about at all.
Oh, they will.
Hashtag secret precast.
I mean, you can't say enough about the man that has organized the better SVU events. You can't say enough about the man that has literally fed droves of Magic players. And when I say fed them, I don't mean like stopped at the McDonald's drive-thru. Not that we don't love those people as well. But I'm saying the guy that actually could season a piece of meat and make it taste amazing. I remember all the photos of the taco bar from Las Vegas, some of the best times when I was there. They love Marcel. The guy does too much for everybody. And what does he get? He gets no fucking reprinted fetch lands and a shitty fucking MTGO that his cards aren't worth shit on. I feel bad for him and everyone else out there listening to this cast that wants to love Magic as much as he does. And look what we have.
Well, there you go.
Sir. Yeah, well put.
But you missed the biggest part. They shitted on the Community Cup. And, you know, that was I could honestly say there was a chance that I could have went there. The Fetchlands set me off. And then people just don't want to hear about Magic Finance and how cancerous the community has become, the culture and MTG Finance. And I guess they get their panties in a knot and they got something to say. And they don't like it when they say something wrong. So
they always do. They always got their panties in a bunch.
Sorry, I was going
to
say.
You just learned to just keep talking shit.
They don't like it because you're going after their profits, Marcel. That's what it is.
It could be that, or it could be, you know, people invest so much time into something and they don't like hearing that, you know, maybe someone has a negative opinion. Because, I went back through my tweets. I went through the 2 weeks or 2.5 weeks of tweets when I started, you know, the salty tweets, I guess, the salty image. And then just because I was angry about the fetch lands, and then all of a sudden that compounded to the Community Cup. You know, that was like, oh my goodness. And then it just, there's some other comments and back and forth with Corbin that the people jumped in and threw their 10 cents in. And it just, you know, people, it was an interesting week. But when I looked at it, it's like, it wasn't nearly as bad. When I was feeling throughout the week, like, oh man, you know, I'm probably being a little too negative, you know, like,
oh,
you know,
please.
You kind of got to be conscious about what you put out there. I think, you know, at a certain amount, you should not just, you know, spew your mouth completely non-filtered. There should be, you know, you should have some responsibility for what you put out there.
Right.
And, you know, I was like, okay, I'm being just too negative. Then I went back and read it. I was like, nope, actually not.
I think what Marcel's trying to say is he threw in one too many hashtag eat a dicks. That's probably, that was the tipping point.
One. I shouldn't have said fuck you, Wizards, but even though I felt that, and there was one other guy that pushed me that I shouldn't have called out because, you know, it's over the internet. Like, I don't care who you think you are. You could be the biggest gangster. You're on the internet. You don't act like that. You know, it's just, you know, this is stupid, but, you know, whatever. Like, So it put things in perspective, and I was on vacation. Everything just got put in perspective. It was a really good time for me. It's a fork in the road. It's a change. It allows me to see what I appreciate about Magic, and you know that Magic is one of the greatest. It's probably the greatest game ever created.
I would agree.
Yeah. I think you're forgetting a little thing called Salmon Ball.
Oh yeah.
I don't know whether you.
Okay. Fine. Greatest card game ever created.
Ah, there you go. Hashtag. Little asterisk.
The addendum there.
Well, we had to play Salmon Ball again to actually confirm that game is as good as it was in Vegas.
You guys didn't let me play, so. You know,
yeah.
Didn't
let you.
It hasn't been fully realized yet.
Yeah, the big thing with JR is he thinks the percentages on the person that hits the salmon ball is so high that it's unfair. And you know JR, he's a numbers man. So that's something that we got to continue to play the way out to figure out if the salmon ball guys can.
It's an ever evolving game, just like fucking Magic. Like we might have to fucking, you know,
make new mechanics.
Fucking make new mechanics to make it function properly. I mean, we're in our fucking alpha and beta stages, man. Like, there's going to be some shit.
Salmon Ball Unlimited.
Yeah. We might have to fucking...
Whiteboarded Salmon Ball. Let's do this.
Yeah. I mean, GP Crest, we're going to have our first time playing all sand course for Salmon Ball. So we're going to see how that works.
No shit. Oh, no. We'll find a good spot to play. We'll find a fucking sweet-ass spot to play. I don't know if we're going to run into any water traps, because I don't have a pool, and neither does David, unless we just go to the public pool and play salmon ball, which probably isn't going to work out well, because, again, it's behind the police station. But I mean, we could definitely rock some courses. Shit, we could go up to the college where I got married and fucking do it up there. It's a big old nice lawn.
That's actually what I was talking about. You know, I said I had a place that would be good for it, but... There's definitely no water up there.
See, the problem is the rule number one is salmon ball. So we got to make sure we don't get arrested recognizing rule number one, where you got to have a game beverage in your hand at all times.
We could probably do it in a bar.
You guys all walk in with mallets over your shoulders. Hey, man, you guys mind if we ever have a round of salmon ball?
I mean, I feel like that's going to look just as cool, if not cooler, than like when we're like, oh, hey, there's a croquet set. We should start playing croquet because... I mean, it's ass o'clock in the morning, and wouldn't it be funny if people just woke up and here we are playing croquet? That's going to be just as funny when we walk in with croquet mallets into a bar in Ridgecrest. Be like, oh, hey, man, we got some shit to handle. Stay the fuck out of our way.
See, I think this is the only place salmon ball could actually be played with the rules that exist. I think you have Kevin Metal. He could bend the rules for the town, you know, and just make it roll back down.
Yeah, shout out, too. Proxy guy, he's got shirts right now, the salmon ball, after Teespring has let him down
in a horrible way.
Yeah, that's true. It's all of us, because we all want a salmon ball t-shirts. I wrote a scathing review for Teespring. They sent me an email. They're like, oh, give us your feedback. I'm like, sure.
And then here's
a link to an independent review site. Please post it. I'm like, oh, you fucked up now.
You done fucked up.
You can check it. I gave a good lengthy report of my experiences of how bad Teespring was. And actually reflecting on it, they were fucking up with us from our second printing of our Brainstorm Brewery shirts.
Got the colors wrong.
They fucked up. See, that's what sucks, too, is because they fucked up in the past. We were happy with them earlier on. But that's the thing is, like, after a bunch of shirts, it became a pattern. It's like, earlier on, they would fuck up. And it's like, all right, you know, like with my the ScrewCom Kerry Bolt shirt. They completely fucking printed them wrong, but it was cool. At least that, you know, I had to give them credit. They came through and they're like, oh shit, we're sorry. And just sent everybody a second shirt that was printed right. And I was like, right on. That was really cool customer service. You know, isolated incident. Something got fucked up because the interface is kind of weird anyway when you're designing shit. You know, sometimes you come back and it's in a different spot or it's fucking, you know, whatever. So I was like, oh, maybe something like that happened. And they stood behind it and they're like, cool, we'll just send everybody else another shirt. But then you start seeing this pattern where, almost every time we launch a Teespring campaign, something's fucked up. Like, something wrong happens. And then it was finally the last straw with the fucking salmon ball campaign.
Went to three printings. Three fucking printings.
Three
printings. The worst part was when we did the Heavy Meta 2.0 with the white key line around it, shirts and hoodies and everything, A lot of them went out, and the hoodies were just falling apart. Like, my hoodie, pocket ripped open, sleeve. So I took a bunch of pictures, sent it to them. They sent me another hoodie, but I'm like, oh, my God, now it's ripping. I'm like, guys, like, that's the quality is just down the fucking toilet. So we're
trying
to
Mine was way too fucking
people.
Small. Mine was way too small, so
yeah,
literally my white layers are in the house, and that's about
it. That's been my biggest concern with anything from Teespring is that the size is always almost, like, one size lower. And the thing is they only go up to, like, double XL or something
well,
like
the,
that?
Well, so the one bigger. Thing with that, though, I can't quite fault Teespring for that because you get to pick which brand of shirt you're using, and that's kind of on the manufacturer of the garment. You know, that's not necessarily Teespring's fault. Because, like, oh, you can use your regular Hanes fucking T-shirts or Hanes fucking sweatshirts, and then if you want to put more into it, you can use American Apparel shirts or whatever. But that's more on the, like, if it's falling apart, that's more the garment company. Unless they got some crazy fucking Chinese counterfeit Hanes fucking, you know, T-shirts.
I'm not talking about the construction. I'm talking about the sizing.
Well, no, and that's it too. It's like with the sizing, I think they have like a sizing chart, which I don't think any of us ever really get into reading sizing charts for the most part. But I mean, that's, you know, even with the sizing, it's like, oh, well, hey, you're getting a Hanes fucking T-shirt that's a medium, and maybe those run small, maybe those run big, whatever the case may be. But what, you know, that still all comes down to like the garments that they're using that you're choosing. But the biggest disappointment in Teespring has just been the fact that there's been, like, printing fucking problems across the board on almost every fucking order that we or, like, you know, us as a community have kind of tried to put together. There's been some that I, from what I remember, have gone off without a hitch. But, you know, it's problem after problem after problem. And, you know, it's like, yeah, done deal.
Well, you know,
and with the Salmon Ball thing where they're like, oh, hey, yeah, we're not going to do anything about that. Like, everybody, it should have fired, but there's enough people that bought one, but then they're like, oh, well, no, sometimes if it's not profitable, we just won't print it.
See, Teespring is very consistent in being inconsistent.
Yep.
Like,
right.
Literally
right.
Every campaign has something that they're like figuring out their system with everything on. See, I've done screen printing before. I've done that in high school. They had a screen printing press. It was part of an Art Academy thing that they did, and I was very excited about doing it. So I've done the whole gamut as far as, you know, printing shirts, putting them out there, doing all that. The benefit of Teespring was it seemed so convenient because you didn't have to deal with all that shit, which could be a nightmare, honestly.
Right.
You know, sometimes.
Well, you don't have to have the cost up front. You know, you don't have to fucking buy. You know, like with
that's
band
the
stuff,
biggest
like,
one.
This is why we don't use Teespring for like our band shirts, which I brought up a couple times, but we've kind of decided not to. Is because 90 to 95% of the shirts that we're gonna sell as a band, like, are gonna be the merch booth while we're at shows on the road. As opposed to people wanting to buy one. You know, I'm sure if we came out with a band shirt, there'd be enough of, like, heavy meta fans and just, like, our general fans that we could get a run of Teespring shirts to fire. But, like, the majority of the money that we would make off of merch, off of shirts as a band is at the venue. So we have to have those pre-printed so that we have them on us to be able to sell right there on the spot.
Yeah,
where
that's
in any other situation, you know, like Teespring's or, you know, Teespring type things are awesome because you don't have to have that overhead cost. You don't have to pay, you know, hundreds and hundreds of dollars, if not thousands of dollars, to have boxes full of all different sizes of T-shirts, then find out that nobody in your fucking fan base is a fucking 3XL and you've got fucking 30
yeah,
of those sitting around.
Left. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know exactly what you mean. And that is the hard part, finding the exact amount of sizes that you want and each area and group of people have a different size requirement. Yeah, it's like a logistics nightmare sometimes dealing with T-shirts. So that's where Teespring selling things are good. But by having an inconsistent product, and again with the garments, like if you're doing the business, you're dealing with new people that are coming to Teespring, you should be able to communicate the quality of the product that you have. Be like, okay, if these Hanes shirts, they're a little bit smaller, so you know, you may want to communicate that to your people. Or
right,
these
right.
shirts are a little bit cheaper. So this is the cheaper option, but you know you're getting the cheaper option, so you're taking the risk on the quality, you know, but you're going to save some money.
So,
but by not communicating that, that's like this very...
So here, I'll give you guys the insight. So what was it? Last year, when they invited me to their, like, insider reveal thing, because we were one of the, I don't know, I guess we did a couple of campaigns or whatever, and they were telling, and I was like giving them feedback on like, you don't have enough colors, it's too restrictive and all this shit. And I was like, you know, that was when we had just done, I can't remember, Proxy Guy, I think he just did the Rules of the Universe shirt. And okay. Yeah,
it's good. Good. I got one of those.
Yeah, mine is still fine, right? And
I still wear it.
Yeah, and I was like, okay, and we that up until that point everything was decent, and they were like, well, what we're gonna do is we're bringing in a whole line of like cheaper merchandise to be more profitable. Also, it allows you as a campaign author to lower the cost to your, I guess, consumers. So I could see at that point they probably were like, holy shit, we're using all this high quality stuff. The site's growing, but we're not profitable. And that's when they started to start shaving everywhere they could. And they've gone down. The guys emailed me like 6 times trying to get me back. And I'm like, look, man, I have no interest in doing this. We'll try. There's a couple of other sites. Proxy Guys got a tester out. If it goes well, you know what? We can do it. And I've seen many sites that we just have to put the time in, and we're kind of bad at that, but we could put the time in to make a dedicated store with on-demand printing. So you want a shirt, one is printed and one is sent out. It may cost $5 more, but then anyone could get anything anytime. I think that's going to be the future. We're so close to finding it. It's just
we're heading that, like, as a society, as a culture, we're heading that way anyway. I mean, like, there's sites out there that you can do that. I know the first Heavy Meta shirt that I got was before we did shirts.
Yep.
I just got fucking the Heavy Meta logo like in black on a red shirt, and then being the arrogant prick that I am, I put my signature across it in silver. I still have that fucking shirt, and I got it from this like custom ink site, and it was. Like, I think it, like, just because it was just 2 colors printed on a red fucking t-shirt, and I think it cost me, like, 25, almost 30 bucks for the shirt. And it's like, fuck, man, that's kind of pricey for a fucking shirt, but then again, it's a one-off. And I feel like, you know, and that was before we made our first shirt, so we're a couple years down the road, and the technology's getting there. You know, when we got into the Teespring thing, it was something that had just, like, that was the only one out there, as far as I know, that... where you could do campaigns and stuff like this. And we're already seeing other sites pop up that are doing similar or the same shit, because I'm sure everybody's like, damn, this Teespring idea is great, but I've had a bunch of shirts fucked up by them. Let's fucking run this better. You know, let's run this a little bit different and run it a little bit better and be a competitor. So I don't think we're too far off from just being able to be like, oh yeah, without having that price premium, actually, like a serious price premium, like to be able to just run it on demand, fucking, you know, print as you want. But instead of having to pay $30 for a t-shirt, it's normal, you know, $16 to $20 fucking t-shirt prices.
See, but the big problem is, I've done screen printing, is actually making the screens. With the chemical that you got to use to create the screens, it only lasts for about a month to 6 weeks, and then you got to reburn the screen, and it's kind of a process to do it, so it's not an easy process. So they charge the $15 setup fee. It's like a $15 to $20 setup fee per screen. You could go all the way up to $30, depending on the company. I mean, it is some work. I've done it. It's actually it's a bitch when you do it on your own independently and you don't have, like, say, a good system going on. So there's actual work for that.
Absolutely. I've fucked with it a very, very little bit. But what I'm wondering, and you might be able to have some insight here, is has that process changed a bit?
No.
You know, in recent years?
It's not going to get any better. Like, until they come something brand new that could do it, like, instantaneously with a lot less work that you got to do to get it going, then maybe
right. I get you.
The cost will never get to the point where it will. So the problem is, I think Teespring did too many colors. So by doing a silk screen with 5 colors, all of a sudden your costs go very high.
Right, but
they're charging $17 a shirt, $15 a shirt. That's they're making a profit off of that. I don't care what you're saying. I know the costs that go behind that. They are making a profit. Maybe they're doing stuff stupid on the administrative level. But whatever it is,
I know for a fact that, like, our local company and like Ridgecrest, you know, doing something like this through Ridgecrest, like as a premium, when we did our fucking the last Barstool shirts we did, we went to one of the companies here in town and they wanted to charge us, I think it was $7 a pop per shirt. You know, it was just black with white screen printing on it. So it's one color on a black shirt. I think they were $7 a pop, something like that. And we basically told them to go fuck themselves. And then a band that we were touring around with at the time, their bass player had, like, down in Orange County, had his own little screen printing setup. It wasn't his main business, but it was kind of something he did on the side, but as a business. And he was charging us $3 a piece for these shirts.
That's really good.
And you know, we were probably getting a little bit of fucking, you know, a deal on it. But he was charging us $3 a piece per shirt. With one color on it, you know, front only, one color, you know, real basic. But we were getting charged $3 a piece, selling them for 10, and at shows and stuff, as opposed to like $7 or whatever it was that the place in Ridgecrest wanted to do. Now you get into Teespring and you're like, oh, well, you know, I just want to do one fucking color on the front of a fucking t-shirt. And they're want to charge you, you know, like you said, like fucking $15-16. And then you can make profit on top of that if you want to like up the price of it. So, I mean, you can do it definitely cheaper than what Teespring is trying to, I don't know, get you to do.
So this is not a cast about how to start your own silkscreen business, but
this is also not a cast about magic.
And we're trying to say, buy Proxy Guy's t-shirt. Right. He has them going. Right. Well, this is a fucking tangent. Yeah.
We went a little far. We are sorry, but you know what?
I mean, we tried to stay at the top of the show. We weren't really here to talk about magic. We'll talk about all things adjacent, like heavy metal t-shirts and...
This is called a magic podcast because all five of us play magic.
Occasionally. Occasionally.
This is called thinning the herd.
Well, yeah. Might as well do a
We might not.
So, I mean, if we want to talk about more things tangentially related to Magic the Gathering, you know, we did talk a little bit more about the impending SVU-related events. You know, like we joke about this whole GP Crest thing, but we're slowly narrowing it down. Like it's still jokey.
Come on.
It is kind of, because now, like, we're not going to make the pre-release. We're not going to make it for Battle of Zendikar. Marcel's window is a little bit after Halloween. So we're looking at November, which is better for the heat. As a fat guy, I appreciate that. I'm glad we're not going to be there in the sweltering summer heat. But
yes, that's going to help things a lot.
Now, between talking about doing GP Crest right, and then my old roommate's talking about hitting up the Star City event in December, where I'm like looking at a hotel and flight and stuff again. There are some things I'm definitely interested in that area, in that region. I don't know, Dave. Are you still doing two or three of the invitationals right now? Have your plans changed at all? Or are you on track for what is it?
I am currently trying to buy a plane ticket to New Jersey right now, and then I will definitely be going to Vegas as well. So yeah, two invitationals. I'll be doing a PPTQ this weekend, so we'll see how that goes.
Goes bowling plans. Fuck.
I'll be back. It's during Saturday. Night, I can beat your ass at bowling.
Oh yeah, that's true.
He's gonna find his shoes at everything. He's like, oh, that's true.
Oh no, last weekend David didn't make it to like actual bowling. David just came over afterwards.
What did you say? I like didn't make it. You didn't invite me, a-hole.
Well yeah, there's that too. It's because and I knew I was right too, because then when you came over to my house, you kicked my ass in PlayStation bowling. But then I also was a lot drunk too. So
I quickly caught up to the drunkenness. Actually, we got drunk at some point. I think Josh started beating us.
Yeah, Josh started beating us at bowling. So, oh no, I think we'd switched to golf at that point. So,
maybe whatever. Like we quickly went downhill.
I feel like the side events to fucking GP Crest are going to be way better than any sort of main event we could possibly come up with. Because there's going to be golf. There's going to be salmon ball. Maybe golf. There's going to be bowling, definitely. There's going to be salmon ball. There's going to be booze cube.
Is there going to be, like laser disc tag? That was also something.
What? Where did that come from?
Don't you remember? Oh, my God.
The laser disc episode?
Yeah.
Well, no, yeah, we got to
I vaguely recall that now.
We got to see if we can...
Laser discs at each
other. You guys were a little sauced by then. That's
And I'm gonna have to buy fucking Power Man or Captain Power.
You're gonna have to buy a lot of fucking laser discs off of fucking eBay. So
this is gonna be like the weirdest 80s weekend ever.
Oh man.
Throwing laser discs at each other.
Oh my god. Duck Hunt. Who's that?
I didn't realize cocaine was that accessible.
Captain Power fucking trophy.
Look, guys, I'm telling you, you should just start rolling the dice. Go to those, like, storage lockup, like, sales, and you never know. You may hit one that has, like, a dead midget body in it, a whole stack of laser discs, some Captain Power.
Or some Captain Power shit.
You never know. Hey, you never know.
We'll pray to the Mother Beaver and so she could guide us in the correct direction so we can have the maximum fun.
Yeah. All you gotta,
it's up to you, Matt.
Dude, all you got to do is find two pieces of hickory wood, cross them like a divining rod in front of the thing, and pour maple syrup on them.
Pour maple syrup on them.
I guarantee you, if people start staring at you, that's the one. You get that. That's the way it works.
That's
thank
the one
you, Maddie.
If you can feel your groin tingling, it's working. That's all I'm saying.
See, your pilgrimage was not for vain.
I have come back with powers. I swear to God, it is like a show. You could film.
We're gonna open up a storage locker full of Molson Ice and fucking maple syrup, yes. And we'll be like, oh, you know what? Fuck it. This sounds like a good idea. Let's just get all hopped up on syrup and fucking Canadian beer.
An old box of like April wine tapes and shit. It'd be awesome. Like a little bit of crickets, because nobody got that reference except the Canadian.
Yeah, I was going to say, what the fuck? Yeah.
Oh, man. So what magic stuff? Oh. Yes, Kevy.
Oh, I was going to say, I was like literally, though, like one of the things I'm still most excited about GP Crest is while I was cooking dinner last night and realizing that Marcel was going to be here and staying at my house, and I am going to have Marcel cook dinner instead.
Right. Man.
I'm all, oh, man. Like,
Marcel's coming to cook for me.
Last night, completely separate from anything else, I'm sitting there cooking dinner, and I was just all, oh, dude, Marcel's going to be here at my fucking house, and I'm going to get that guy to cook us up some fucking sweet-ass food. I was so excited.
Well, yeah, you get the shit. We could do it Friday night if it's just a few people.
I don't expect
like,
us
you,
to, like,
your lady.
Yeah. Exactly. I don't expect this to like. I ain't gonna have you fucking feed everybody.
I'm not gonna get invited again. Yeah,
Gabby gets cut already.
Yeah, don't bring David. He's a tornado.
It already sounds like the GP Crest. I mean, I don't know what's the main event. Possibly Salmon Ball, but it feels like the side event schedule is already just as full as a GP for 2 days of not sober gaming coming your way soon.
So we got to figure out it's either an FNM or a PPTQ that's going to be our official magic event that we're going for, and then everything else is going to be the icing on the cake.
That's how I see it. I definitely think I'd like to PPTQ it because it sounds like FNM is just like the David show. We're just going to show up. And
that's what'll be fun. It's the David show, so we just got to go try to fucking knock David. we're gonna take David down. Like, we're gonna just fucking, like, you know, we're gonna form this little team outside of David, and we're gonna be like, oh, all right, man, we gotta find a way to take his ass down. Somebody
this
start
like, this sounds like normal FNM for me.
Yeah, exactly. Except for now, you've got two guys that are better at magic than like some of the people at FNM, and then you got me showing up for once, who's gonna. I mean, I'm just gonna be like a small roadblock for you.
But, anti-moral support.
Yeah. I'm just all goddamn David. You should just give up now. You should just give up now.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm literally gonna build my deck. I'm gonna actually go back and listen to the podcast from the week before to find out what David's playing, and then I'm gonna build the most terrible deck possible that is just main board hate against David's deck, whatever it is, whatever it might be. No chances of winning whatsoever, but you know, I just gotta make sure David can't do anything so I can beat him. And then I will have done my part. And then now Tristan and Marcel are going to have to beat him, which it's still not going to work. I'm telling you, that guy walks into fucking Just Imagine and he's like, he gets this magical fucking power, no pun intended, that he's just like, oh, I'm going to go ahead and open a bunch of good shit and win. Like, it's just how it works.
It does help when you open well, but actually that's the whole reason why I play something different every week for FNM, so that way people cannot sideboard specifically against.
So those little bastards can't just fucking try to knock you out like I'm going to?
No joke, I've had people do it. They'll like, I'll see their sideboard, and it was, like, whatever I played last week, and they were just playing it on the off chance. I'm like, Jesus.
Hold up. That's so bad, dude.
So we could scout against David, right? So we can all watch his deck. And then we can have, like, a hand signal, like, you know, don't do that. But no one's watching actual cheating, but, you know, we're looking at your cards, and we see you, Kevy. Like, do not make that play.
Yeah, I just
I know you're thinking it. Stop.
I go into sneezing fits and shit. I'm just all, you can't prove shit.
Oh, this sounds like so much fun.
It's David against the world.
Exactly. We're in.
I'm not even that good, goddamn.
Yeah, what a liar. He almost crushed an SCG. Don't stop doing it. The power, you know what the thing is, the power of the grapple, if it gets behind him, he's unstoppable.
See, that's how I win. I just threaten people.
Yes! Now we all know. We all know.
You saw that picture of that little kid in fucking GP San Diego? Had that kid right where I wanted him. He would have whooped my ass had I told him I wouldn't have ripped his arms off and fed him to his parents.
Bringer here, TSG. I think he's going to come here and all of a sudden crush, and everyone's going to have their feelings hurt as we try to move into Salmon Ball the next day.
So. Yeah, if we got fucking Cube as the fucking F&M format.
Well, hey, that's the thing. Like, I'm trying to avoid the Cube while TSG's here because I beat him once, so I don't need to play again.
Oh,
now
here we go.
Like,
you're undefeated against
the TSG. Boosh School of Magic.
That's why there's all this talk about this 2-day-long Salmon Ball Invitational. No one's let's not play Magic. How are we? We're just gonna climb this mountain to go to the Salmon Ball court. It's gonna take all day.
Yeah, we're gaming against you. We're gonna do Cube right after all that shit. we're gonna Cube our asses off right after we're done drinking a gallon of vodka and hiking up the side of a fucking hill.
Yeah, well, see, now I feel better about that because if it's post gallon of vodka, I feel like my chances are good.
See, these guys have trained for that. TSG, you gotta get that training in, man. It's all the reps.
Uh-oh,
you gotta get your reps in.
I wonder if I could get a sponsorship for GP Crest. I know we got other things, you know, trying to figure out, but I'm wondering if, like, I could just get, like, Albertson's Vodka to sponsor us for GP.
Taka Vodka.
Yeah, Taka Vodka. If Taka won't do it, I'll hit up Albertson's. If Albertson's won't do it, I'll hit up Crystal Palace. I'll just get all the cheap vodkas and be like,
"Damn,
like,
we got it. Let's do it."
Yeah, later. They're like, "Oh wow, dude, like nobody's ever asked us to sponsor him before. That sounds like a good idea."
Tell him we'll throw in free advertising.
Four like, Loko, coming for you.
Four Loko.
Yeah. It's weird. We're a gasoline company. We just make this vodka with the byproduct. We've had race cars and shit ask us to sponsor them, but not
that's
Magic.
I still want to start a vodka company called Putin's Piss. That's all.
It might do well, actually. It probably won't.
Just a shitbag paper label on it, just as Putin's Piss in, like, pencil.
And all of a sudden it gets popular, and then David ends up dead in the bathroom unexpectedly, and we're like, oh, maybe.
What's the half-life on me, do we think?
20 years.
It depends on the
year and a half. Year and a half.
So what is the... Yes. So, moving on from starting vodka companies. What is going on? We are so close. Apparently, we're getting... what is it? They're going to be streaming PAX Prime in 2 weeks? Is that right? Or PAX... One of the PAXes? I'm not sure.
Yeah, and then we're gonna get the full spoilers. We already got some of the cards. Yeah. We got the dual deck spoiled, and we got
new mechanics. We got Devoid, which sounds interesting.
I thought it was stupid at first. I was like, this is probably the stupidest mechanic
well,
they ever
like
created.
Eating
and then,
shit. It's kind of cool. For the Vorth.
But I mean, by making it colorless.
Oh
and then
yeah,
I, then
that's
I
yeah. Because
I thought it was a colorless creature. I was like, what point? Because I looked at it briefly, and then I thought to myself, like, Devoid has to be the stupidest. Because, like, what point are we in Magic that you have a card that has colorless mana, and people don't understand it's colorless? And then all of a sudden, I saw it had a black symbol, and then I was like, okay, all of a sudden it makes sense. But it's you know, we are
like
going to probably
it's
see
like
Ghostfire.
Like a creature version of Ghostfire.
Ghostfire. Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, we've got the damn sword, which looks interesting. Ghostfire blade, right? So. Who knows, man? You'd be suiting up your shitty Eldrazi and attacking people. We got the other mechanic, what is it called? Ingest? Where they exile cards off the top of your library, so like a pseudo mill effect? Which seems very underwhelming.
I didn't even see that.
Is that what it's called? Because I didn't see that mechanic on. I saw the Oblivion Sower has the ability to, like, exile the top four, but I didn't see a mechanic name associated with
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
well, no, the Ingest is a different one. It's in one of the cards when they attack and they hit. And you exile a card from the top of your library.
I thought it was when they came into play. It's one of the triggers.
Obviously, though. I've done my research. Hold
up. We're doing it right now.
There you go. Ooh, get the official shit. Because
heavy meta.
I know
heavy meta. Yeah.
You know, it was interesting, though, because like it's on the lower guys. So I wonder if the plan is, you know, you're exile milling your opponent with the little guys until you can cast one of your big Eldrazi. And then maybe they, like, you know, choose a card from exile and put it directly into play. Which would be really cool, because that's like the whole theme of the Eldrazi, like devouring the plane and then using that. So
I think blue would do that. I think you could probably see, you'll see some form of that in blue at some point, I think. That's the ingest that you got, exile cards, you'll be able to play with them, which would be really cool.
Yeah, I mean,
but yeah,
it's cool, right?
And Jess right here. So Ingest says, whenever this creature deals combat damage to a player, that player exiles the top card of his or her library. So only the top card.
One at a time.
It's not an Ingest 1 or Ingest 3, so it can't scale. So I don't know. I don't think it can be that bad, because Wizards is obviously, this is going to be their new mechanic.
I don't know, man. They made some bad mechanics. There has
to be some coolness to it. But on paper, it is so underwhelming.
The card, though, that they did spoil in that dual deck, which is fucking amazing, is the, what is it, Return to... It's the green enchantment. It's 2 and a green, and it has...
Retreat to Kazandu.
That's the one.
Catmandu.
Oh man, that card is gas. So you have two modes. You can gain 2 life, or you can put a +1/+1 counter on a creature every time you. It's landfall triggered, right? So that sounds fucking
two and a green
awesome
for enchantment.
Yeah, I love that card. I think that's really cool. Very cool design space.
This might sound stupid. Is that Awaken fucking mechanic? Like, is that a recurring or a old mechanic that came back, or is that
no? That's new.
That's new.
Okay.
So Awaken. I thought so.
Here, what is Awaken, Marcel?
So they got Awaken 3. So this scales. So they're gonna have different Awaken costs, and so they got it. Basically, it's called Sheer Drop, and it costs 5 and a white. Awaken 3. If you cast a spell for the cost, you also put 3 +1/+1 counters on any target land you control. It becomes a 0/0 elemental creature with haste. It is still a land.
So you're turning shit into a man land. On top of, whatever the card does. But, now, is that, does that sound, the regular casting cost is fucking 2 and a white, and then the Awaken 3 cost is fucking 5 and a white. Does that, I mean, I guess you're paying 1 mana per counter. I don't know. I mean, this is a common.
You're essentially playing 3 mana for a 3/3 haste, which is not the worst cost, especially it looks like it's a common.
Yeah,
so,
that's a common. So
you do need to have 7 lands, though, to actually hit with this creature this turn, because it doesn't say untap.
Yeah. Because if you tap that land, obviously it can't attack. The thing that I'm thinking, though, with this mechanic is, that's going to make fucking, control decks really have a hard time.
Yes,
because
nice.
Now all of these cards that normally would be dead against control, now all of a sudden can just turn a land into a creature with haste. So... Mm-hmm.
You know what sucks, though?
Really rough mechanic but also a great mechanic for control, and the fact that not only does this destroy a creature, but then they can turn one of their lands, which they want to hit every turn, into a threat. So, I don't know. It seems like a really interesting, cool mechanic. And I think any time that you give these cards, multi-purpose, almost like charms...
Yep.
And it's
different modes.
It's the controller's choice. Anytime you put modes on a card that's the controller's choice, they're going to be powerful. So I'm kind of excited for Awaken, honestly.
That makes me wonder, though, are we going to get man lands as well? Because that's a lot of man lands, then.
I think so. Didn't they spoil? No, that was just for the dual deck.
These aren't necessarily mana lands. These are just lands that can attack. So, I mean, there's a possibility we might see those
mana lands.
I just say
man land because it's a land that is a creature now.
Yeah, makes me wonder,
All we know right now is that there will be rare lands in the set, and there'll be new design space. So we have no clue what they're going to be.
Yeah, they could be.
I've seen people talk about, bad fetch lands that come into play tapped, or new fetchable lands, or different man lands. We don't know. All we know is that they're going to be new rare lands.
I hope there's something good. I think, if we don't get fetches at rare... Marcel was telling me earlier, we gotta have some cycle of fetches, even if they're Mirage fetches, at Uncommon, just to trigger Landfall. I hope we get that. It's gonna suck if there's no fetchy kind of stuff.
Well, but for at least the first half, we're gonna have the Cons fetches, right? Or no, Cons rotates out. I'm still not up to date on this fucking new rotation schedule. But isn't Cons still gonna be there?
Is it?
So you're still going to have fetch lands for...
Cons is going to be here for this one. As soon as we get the next block, then Cons and
so,
it's going to drop off.
So you're still going to have the Cons fetch lands for the first 9 months or whatever it is
that's true.
That battle for Zendikar. So you don't need the fetch lands.
You're going to do everything. Yeah, everything's going to be 3 months.
Yeah, that's what I said. I'm so confused by this stupid fucking rotation schedule. And I only say stupid because I don't know it. It's probably fine.
It seems to make sense with, like, when they showed us with the, like, the graphic and everything. I was like, oh, cool, that makes sense. But the problem is like, right now in this weird spot where they told us about that
the bridge
fucking, like, what, a year ago or something? And then now we're in that, like, that spot that they were talking about that's like, okay, well, now, for a few, it's going to be weird until we finally get into that rotation. And then it seems to make sense.
Right now, it should make sense because we're entering the new phase at this point with this new the new set, the Battle for Zendikar. So once we get the full set, once we get Battle for Zendikar and the next set, we're going to get the new block after that. When we get the new block, we're going to lose Khans and Fate Reforged.
Yep.
But you're still going to have Dragons and M15 around, along with Battle for Zendikar is block, and then the new block after that. And then
not 15.
Yeah, Origins. Oh, I mean, sorry. Yeah, not 15. Not Origins.
That's gone 16. With Theros.
Dragons and M16 and Origins are together.
Yes.
So they're you consider them a block. Yep. So now every block is going to drop off after the new one. So think about it like that.
That makes a lot of sense.
I just wanted to make sure that we reiterated that it was Origins that was sticking around, not M15. Sorry. And the other thing that's worth noting out of these cards that we have spoiled is that allies are going to be back, and that is shitty, and I hate it. Fuck Wizards. I fucking hate allies.
Yeah, I know. Allies, you know what? I think, though, that they've learned that allies suck.
They haven't learned anything.
Oh, come on. I think this new ally is kind of cool, dude. That guy is awesome.
That's one ally. All I know is that allies are coming back. So, like, slivers are bad.
Slivers are bad.
These are This is a new name for Sliver. Fuck allies. Fuck slivers.
Yeah, I was casual when allies were around last time, so I had, like, a blue-white. It was an aggressive.
A mill deck, right?
Aggro mill.
You milled them? Aggro mill. Yeah.
Literally.
That's exactly what I did. I built an ally deck specifically when people played ally decks against me. I was like, oh, you think your ally deck's good? All right, fine. And then I had, like, four of the ally fucking clones, four of the ally mill cards, like, just... All I did was just mill them out in like three turns. I'm like, well, was that fun? Was that a fun game of Magic?
I said some serious fucking. We thought Marcel was going to be the salty one.
Yeah, David's salty.
I fucking hate allies, and I fucking hate slivers. That's all I'm
getting. You're anti-tribe, man. You're anti-tribe.
I have ever.
No, I'm not anti-tribe. You can have dragons, you can have goblins, you can have angels, you can have fucking Kithkin or whatever, you know, whatever magical midget name you want to give them. Hobbitses, Kithkinses, Preciouses, I don't give a shit. But allies and slivers are the goddamn devil.
Review coming soon. David plays F&M. Battle for Zendikar allies.
Views tribes.
Oh my god, that's it, guys. When GP Crest happens, the only way you can play with David is you force him to draft allies. That'd be awesome. Everyone gets to do whatever they want. I know, this would be the best. You should be like grumpy as shit. Oh, fuck. If there's an ally in the pack, you have to take it. That's your drafting rule.
That just feels dirty and wrong. Ooh,
what if they reprint Cavern of Souls for the allies?
Oh, they need to print that shit, man. $45?
$46? I just saw that. That's nuts. Oh, my God.
I'm so pissed off I didn't get
that. That feels just like off the pure speculation that Goblins is going to be a thing in Modern.
I don't know, dude. Which that card, Merfolk, was what it was running up with. And elves.
Well, yeah, no, Merfolk and like legacy goblins and stuff like that kind of drove it up a little bit, but it was like at like what, $25 for the longest time, and then it just feels like Goblin Pile Driver got previewed, and then there.
Well,
like,
it was right before that when the Merfolk deck did well. I mean, it's a card that it's a card that like has it's gonna be good forever.
I understand its price going up like over time, but it just shot from like 25 to 45 in like a week.
Well,
it was really weak.
Based on our favorite buddies, #MTGFinance. The salt. I just heard the salt ooze.
Horton just sighed.
Horton hears a cha-ching. Can we make money off this card?
Sodium chloride.
Oh, my
yes,
God.
They're going to make money. They're going to make so much
money.
Gotta
make money. I'm buying collections.
Because we're in a market, right? And so you got to charge. You got to buy your cards for less and sell them for higher. And if people are going to pay the price, then it doesn't matter, right?
I mean, I guess. But what does that say? Everyone is a financier then? We're all in Magic Finance. Otherwise, we're sheep. Like, that's a shitty fucking game I don't want to be involved in. It's just...
And who does?
Yeah, well, that's the thing, right? It's the negative part of this whole thing. You've made it so that we all have to be part of this, and we all have to be aware of it, and it creates a hype market. And, you know? It sucks. A lot of people get burnt. Well, I guess the average player gets burnt.
Yeah, and especially when Wizards doesn't officially recognize it, and
you can't talk about
the aftermarket, so... The problem is now you have people that are, especially you got new people trying to navigate a finance market or, you know, MTG finance and trying to get their cards or their collections, and usually people get taken. And that's the nature of the game, and it's a matter of getting taken for so long before you realize that you're not going to get taken anymore. And is that really a healthy thing? I mean, sure, MTG finance is good in the sense that, you know, you should learn about what's going on
sure.
so that you're not going to be taken advantage
of. Knowledge is good.
But, you know, then there's also the other side of it. It's not, you know, you can't just say it says MTG Finance is just these people. There's multiple sides. There's good parts, bad sides. But, you know, there's a growing culture now of specking and trying to get in over on people and, you know, just finding ways to, profit at the expense of the players is how it just feels like. And, you know.
I 100% agree with that. The worst part that I think a lot of people don't realize is, you know, all these MTG financers, whatever you want to call them, the ones that are saying they're doing good and they're trying to help everyone, I mean, I think that's a little bit narcissistic, guys. Like, you're doing it for profit. You're not doing it to help anyone. Like, that's absurd. So, buying my cards off me for 60% the cost and selling them isn't helping anyone. It's just making you money. So, if they were a little more honest with their approach and just say, hey, you know, that's what it is, that's fine. What are you gonna do, right?
Yeah, and then Brian Dale, he was talking about good just the culture and how people are just screaming out, oh, I found this spec and I did so good and I made this shot call and, you know, this, that, and another, and it creates these feel bad moments just for people. It's like, you know, the feel good for someone is when they get over on someone else where they were ahead of the game, but someone is, you know, it's a zero sum. Someone's going to lose when you get ahead. Unless
that
it's like a gradual
that money has to come from somewhere. That's the thing I think a lot of people don't want to talk about, and it's the dark secret of the MTG finance world is when you make $5, that $5 came from somewhere, and it came from someone's pocket. So if you weren't there to raise the price of that card, then that person would have more money. So you guys are making money from somewhere, and Wizards isn't paying you, so it's the community. It's the people buying your cards. You're just making money off them. So, you know, I get that.
I mean,
but here's the thing. I look at people like, you know, Face Toronto. Those guys, like, started from nothing and are busting their ass every day, 18 hours a day in a store. I will pay 60% markup, whatever you want, because I'm going there and you guys are providing an amazing,
exactly.
an incredible thing that they're losing money on. You know, but they're still doing it for everybody, and I find that great. A guy sitting in his basement with 1,000 copies of Cavern of Soul, I don't know, man. Like, what is that?
And see, people are going to make the argument that, you know, you got to have the finance world because how else are you going to get your cars? How else are they going to move? There's really no way for it there. And there's truth to that. There's stores that, you know, need to survive. There's that, but there's a way of doing business. You could do a shady way of doing business, or you could be straight up about it. And there's, you can make a living making an honest buck, and you can make a good living doing that. But, you know, it's when people resort to these shady details or trying to figure out a way to get over on people that, and when it becomes an accepted within the culture, then all of a sudden it just
spirals,
that's
not what you
want to promote.
That's the thing. I think probably 5 years ago, or even you look at, like, they say, you know, speculation and Magic finance has been around forever. And, you know, yeah, sure, I guess. But at the same time, you can say when there was Scry that came out every month, you know, people were making trades and it was great. But now you have, like, per second information and people are just going all over the place and jumping on it and trying to, like, jack the price of a card as soon as someone says something about it, or a card gets on coverage and then, you know, it's already sold out. Like, that kind of stuff I don't think is healthy for the game. And I think it's just people, it's a rush to profit. You know, people over, or like, I guess paper over people kind of thing.
So TSG, you have got probably more experience than anyone else here on that side of it in the actual workings. Like,
can't
how
confirm.
Do you can't confirm, but from your perspective, do you see a difference in the change in how MTG Finance has evolved over the years, and how do you see the current state?
Good question.
Yeah, the game is so different from when even when I was buying and selling full time for 3 years ago at this point. I mean, where to begin even? The demand is so high. The game has changed so much. That's what's really insane to me is there used to be this natural progression. And the one time I remember the one time I was actually on Brainstorm Brewery, we talked about this, where it was about you know, what used to be the natural progression of cards was heavily driven by Standard, and then cards fell off and became casual Magic cards, and there was an ebb and a flow. And it felt like it was very organic, it worked really well. People would hold on to some cards because some other formats came through, like Extended. But nowadays, there's such a fervor is built. And obviously, the Magic landscape has changed drastically since Baneslayer Angel and Jace the Mind Sculptor, and then changed again with the massive influx of players we've gotten in the last few years. It's gotten to the point now where it's obviously ridiculous. It's just I don't even know the best way to
so
put
is
it.
So what's ridiculous? Why is it ridiculous? What about it? Just like you're like, what the hell?
Is it because like cards have an immediate place? So like, if Modern didn't exist, you'd have cards that rotated from Standard, like you said, and they would go nowhere if they didn't make Legacy. And now it's like, well, your Standard cards go straight into Modern if they're good enough, and in Legacy and Vintage. So if you can find that card that makes Modern, it potentially makes Legacy. So it's these like
No, it's not like that. It's not like that. You got to remember that for a long time, you know, the extended format was a fairly big format, but it did rotate. And because it rotated, there weren't a lot of guarantees in terms of the format's quality. There weren't a lot of guarantees. You think about the way Modern is set up right now, and the reason a card like Blood Moon is worth as much as it is, or even a card like Tarmogoyf is worth as much as it is because we assume that there will never be a card printed better than it. It will be the cornerstone of that format, and because this thing is locked in concrete forever,
it's safe.
You have to have that card.
Now, is that because?
Well, I don't think that that's necessarily true. I mean, we've seen that card get reprinted, and it's still holding that value. I think.
Okay, well, all right, hold on, David. Hold
hey,
on.
Hey, what about you? Hold on.
Because what you're coming at, you're comparing apples to oranges here. Where
hey, TS Kevy, I was talking.
look. I'm saying the quality of the card has not changed. I'm not talking about the number that are in circulation. I'm talking about simply talking about the quality of the card.
Well, I thought we were talking about finance in general.
Yes,
though.
But the
right,
quality
but
of the card counts.
But the quality of the card drives the financial value.
I understand that. What does that have to?
Yeah, go ahead.
No. You want to talk again?
So
hold on. So,
I'm only talking about card quality. Because of card quality, that is driving player demand. Obviously, we are at a point now where there are so many more Magic players than there are cards being printed that older cards cannot. There are not enough in the population. And Wizards is still in this feeling out process where they're determining how much of something to reprint in order to meet their new player base. As much as they're trying to put feelers out there to really understand exactly how many people are playing their game, exactly how many people are playing their game competitively, they still don't have a firm grasp on those numbers, and thusly they still don't have a firm grasp on the size of the sets they need to print. And I can give you examples of this that work really well. One of them would be Modern Masters 1 in comparison to Modern Masters 2 and the print size of those two sets. Now, just a few months ago,
we, you know, I was talking to someone like Jeebus, and that guy, he buys boxes from a wholesaler. You know, he was trying to give the same rhetoric that they had during Modern Masters 1, which is, this product's going to be super limited. You should get to hoard it. It's going to be worth so much more because there's so little out there. I can walk into any LGS that I can drive to right now, and I will find Modern Masters 2 packs sitting on the shelf that you can buy at MSRP, which you could never do for Modern Masters 1. So right. The product is still out there. I think the issue with that product is the price point is so high. It doesn't mean there are enough Tarmogoyfs for everybody. No, because they still don't want to pay as much as it would cost to get them. If we were completely out of Modern Masters 2 at this moment, and the prices on Tarmogoyf were still, you know, $200 a piece, it would be a different issue. The community and the player base at large is still kind of having the ebb and flow of that process. Conversely, a product like Return to Ravnica is a spectacular example of when Wizards thought that they were doing a great service to the community in terms of devaluing very expensive cards by reprinting all of those shock lands. And you can, that product was so overprinted, you can still get it below retail price. There's a mass drop going on for it right now. You can get boxes for $85 sealed because that was a product that they pushed so far to devalue those cards. And I would say that Shocklands, conversely, are a product that have been printed to the point where they are suppressed in value adequately. No one's going around complaining about the cost of Hollowed Fountain, right?
And that's a great thing. That's what it needs to be at. That's where all, I think all dual lands should be under $20 that are format stable.
I agree. So
maybe there may be an occasional card above that, but I think that should just be where it's at. Dual lands are what everyone needs access to. Why not make them cheap as possible?
Now, a Hollowed Fountain, I would argue a Hollowed Fountain is not as dangerous to a format as a card like Tarmogoyf, as a card like Hypergenesis, as these kind of seemingly format-defining cards. So the playability of a format also affects the financial value of the format, and that's one of the reasons why Modern is wrong. Modern should not exist the way it exists, because people that want to play competitively know that they must own these particular cards to be competitive, and since we as a community know that they aren't going to print cards of better card quality, you either wait around for there to be enough reprints to suppress the price, which they're still working out the feelers on exactly how to put those cards out there, you know, doing away with more of the supplementary products, as Mauro talked about, you know, trying to infuse more reprints into the sets that they print for Standard, is only going to slow that process down further. So because of that, we have this huge financial barrier to get into Modern. And too many people, I feel, have the same opinion that Maddie has tried to hold true, which is, look, Standard is going to be, it's going to cost me $200 to $500 every 6 to 9 months. Yeah. That's a ton of money. I'd rather spend $1,000 tomorrow and never have to buy another card again and always be able to play this format.
Or maybe, you know, a couple of $5 or $20 here to, you know, get an updated card or two. Yep. Just, you know, slow evolution, because it's all about time. And that's what leagues is very important. You know, Magic has a higher, the market is higher. It's not just kids, you know, just people that are grown adults that have only a limited amount of time. And if you could try to squeeze some Magic in there, that's what we want. And Modern is the perfect balance because it allows people with disposable income to get into it. And you don't have to be on this fucking constant grind knowing what the card, if it's spiked, to get rid of it at this point. Oh, the rotation's coming. You got to get rid of it or else it's going to go, you know,
that's
crap in
exactly
value.
What I was talking about, like, when we were on that episode with Jay and I was kind of, like, championing Modern, is that's exactly why, like, that's the spot that I'm in, where I don't have the time to play Magic to stay current with Standard. But Modern is, like, yeah, so there's a little bit more of a price barrier to get in, or, you know, you have to do it the right way. You either have to have somebody like David to borrow cards from, or you have to gradually buy into it, you know, little by little or whatever the case may be. But then you're not having to change, you know, 50% of your deck 2 weeks later because something else got figured out. You're not having to keep up with Standard. And you're not having to buy into the fucking huge price barrier that is fucking like Legacy or Vintage. So Modern's that nice spot that I've fallen into because I'm a grown up with other shit to do, and I can't just grind fucking shit all the time. And that's why I love playing Modern. Is it, well, like, right, I can stay current-ish with it.
right now we are in another kind of pioneering space for Magic the Gathering. Because if you look at the way Wizards...
Tiny leaders.
Oh. You know, fuck that. Fuck that format. Man, I played that for the first time in Vegas, and that's the last time I played it. Yeah, no offense to everybody I played with, but yeah.
I heard of an alternate title for that, too. I'm trying
Little
to remember what it's called.
Wieners? Tiny wieners?
It doesn't matter. My point is that we as a player community, as a Magic community, are going through new and different growing pains because there's a new type of player that you have just described that didn't used to exist in Magic. Right. When Wizards looked at players, they look at active or inactive. They don't look at passively active or aggressively active. We need new classifications of players. Because it used to be you either played Magic and you were active playing Magic, or you weren't active playing Magic and you didn't play Magic. Or maybe that version was, you know, I've got my 4th edition starter deck with the rest of the bundle of cards I bought when I was in high school, and sure, I'll pull them out and I'll play my old, you know, Pump Knights deck from forever ago. But... Aww. What would benefit a lot of players is to find that balance of people that want to be like Maddie or Kevy, where they want to play competitively, which is a new space for people that want to play ever so often. It used to play, if you wanted to play Magic competitively, that meant you were playing actively, and by playing actively, that meant you were keeping up with all the cards, you had the cards that were in Standard, you were able to port those cards over to what used to be Extended. And those were the formats that you would play competitively. You know, back in those days, we also had Block, which moved even faster, and you went through the cards quicker. You also have to think about the fact that Wizards of the Coast isn't, you know, they don't make a whole lot of money off of modern existence.
They could. Secondary market make all that money. This is what's crazy.
Yes.
But see, they don't need to do that.
You've got to understand. You're retaining the people that have discretionary income.
Exactly.
You're keeping them happy, and then all of a sudden, if they're happy with your product, maybe you know what?
They jump in.
I'm
going to
draft a little bit more. Yes. I might get a standard deck now because I know if the standard doesn't work out, I go back to my
100% agree.
And long ago, 5 years ago, I think that mentality would have made more sense. With the explosion of growth, and the explosion of growth coming from other arenas, most importantly, digital platforms where it's new players are being introduced. It's all about cultivating those new players. When I used to have conversations with people like Mark Purvis, Mark Rosewater, Aaron Forsyth, even Matt Tabak, like all the people that were in design, in brand, all of the energy is put towards new players because those are the new pocketbooks that are being opened. When we sit around and talk about playing Modern, playing Cube, playing these formats where all we're doing is going to websites like Star City Games and buying the cards that have already been sold by Wizards of the Coast, they're not seeing that money come back through their system. And that's another reason why you see so many high-level events only showcasing stuff that is in print recently, because their successes, especially when you get Hasbro involved in this, is did you sell out of that product that you printed? Did you sell out of Return to Ravnica? Well, shit, they didn't sell out of Return to Ravnica. They overprinted it. Was that product a success? No, it was not a success. Was the next product a success? Was Theros a success? Did it sell out? If it sold out, Hasbro considers it a success. The budget for Wizards of the Coast goes up. They get to do more stuff. They get to make more games and more products. That's still what matters to them, not do I need to print more Tarmogoyfs so people will go to more Modern events, so someone like Maddie, who could spend $1,000 on this game, might spend it. But if he does Wizards of the Coast really see any of those dollars?
Well, it's a Tarmogoyf in a standard fucking set, and I will buy cases of it. That's what... Like,
yeah, see, guys, now you're getting future League involved. They need to worry about balance concerns.
Fuck balance.
No, here's what you do. Wait, what you do is you do something like print fetch lands,
put them in commander
in a set, and then all of a sudden you got people like me and TSG. We're going to FNM. We did it you know, semi regularly. We're like, okay, the fetch land lottery is there, and we want to get fetch lands. Why? Because there's modern accessibility.
Marcel and I literally went to draft FNM during cons. I literally opened a Flooded Strand and sold it to Marcel. These things literally happened.
He was mad at selling it to me for $10. But he says, "You know what? You're a friend, so I'm going to do this for you."
Yeah. I will regret this later.
Wait, what's the cost of Flooded Strand right now?
$27, I think.
Yeah, it's good.
But at the time, it was like $12.
It's because he's into MTG Finance. Shh.
I needed it for my career. That's
a good way to go.
No, but I think it still comes down to like a the very basic thing of the fact that like that, you know, we're all still buying cards. Like, you know, it fluctuates from set to set and whether they're reprinting shit or not or whether it's worth it to us and like the EVs there. But the very basis of it is like they're stuck with this, not stuck with it, like You know, like, it's a bad thing. Wizards is stuck with this whole, like, we've got this game that we've all agreed is one of the best games that's ever been fucking made. And so, yeah, focusing all your energy on hooking those people in the very beginning is probably the smart business practice. Keeping us happy as, like, return customers is probably not as important because to them, because they realize, like, you know what? We're still buying Magic cards. Like, all of us are still buying Magic cards.
We're not about the best people to have about this it. Conversation.
Right, and it's bringing the new people in because they're like, oh, you know what? We have this great fucking game that once people get into it, they're fucking hooked and they're going to keep spending money for the rest of their fucking lives. Exactly. So they're like, let's get in there.
We don't have to maintain these
people. Been playing Magic for a year and a half. You want to court people that are unsure about it. That's why your community cup includes people that have been playing Magic for 18 months and not people that have been playing Magic for 20 years because to them, that's what community is.
It's a strictly business decision. It's
but now, let's talk about you, Kevin. I know that 9 months ago, you bought the Commander deck. You bought the red Commander deck, correct?
Yes.
Where did you buy that Commander deck?
At Walmart.
Perfect. You are the best possible customer. After you bought that product, when was the last time you bought sealed Magic product?
Sealed Magic product, like at the pre-release.
Perfect. That is the answer right there. I love
it. Yep.
All right. So I would say in the last 9 months, you have affected Wizards of the Coast sales to the tune of, what, like $50?
Yeah.
Every other Magic the Gathering purchase you have made has been from a third-party secondary market website.
Absolutely. Well,
see, you're not counting the fact when you get Kevin Metal drunk and on eBay, all of a sudden he's supporting the secondary market and creating these stores
that don't
have the ability to survive on their own, and they're surviving because of Kevin.
If Wizards of the Coast still had a direct line that they could sell products below MSRP because for some reason, that shit's still worth its weight in gold. Then 2 weeks ago, instead of drunkenly buying $500 worth of bowling shit, I approximate, Kevin could have bought amazing amounts of great Magic cards that he could have shared with his family and friends. But that's not something they do. You know, Wizard of the Coast still has this kind of antiquated before internet business model where they make a product, they bring it to a distributor, the distributor brings it to a storefront, the storefront sells it. We don't even exist in that world anymore. They haven't updated their business model. That's just another avenue where we as players are suffering now that we want to play competitively. And I never go to like Hasbro.com to buy anything. I never go to Target to buy anything. I go to one of these websites where I can build a deck that I watched on coverage last week from scratch, and Wizards doesn't see that dollar. And the closest they're going to see is when I go to that pre-release, because that's the first time I can see those cards. And so because of that, you know, people like us don't matter as much. The formats are harder to work with. Sealed, draft, and standard are what make them a ton of money, and they're going to figure out the rest of the shit on a much slower process, and we're all suffering for that right now.
You know what? That's true.
They have to keep you there. Like, they definitely don't want to completely shut us off altogether. Like, they can't let Modern or fucking Legacy just fucking fall apart. You know, they have to keep something on there.
Yeah, they wouldn't have put Fetchlands in Cons if they didn't care about making money.
Well, what I'm saying, like, They do have to care because we do translate into more money for, like, again, it's all focused on the new player. Because when the new player shows up at a fucking LGS, they want to see, you know, like, that new player, in order for them to keep buying packs and keep buying shit from fucking Walmart or just fucking sealed product from their fucking LGS, you know, they don't want to see one salty old man being like, oh, man, I'm still playing with the cards I had from 97 because this game has gone to shit. It's fucking terrible, like some old fucking World War II vet. They want to see, like, they want you know, your new player to come into an LGS and be like, oh, I'm just kind of figuring this out. And they're into the standard environment, into the marketing side of things. Like, they want to be Chandra or they want to be Jace, and they want to jump into standard. But they also want to see this mystical world of what lies beyond, like, oh, you're playing these old cards and there's a whole nother format? Well, hey, I'll get into that shit. After I'm done buying all these packs, maybe I can get into playing. Yeah,
if they don't get caught up in the flashy new product that comes out.
Well, what I'm saying is, Wizards is only going to take care of us as a fucking like as a demographic, as like just to keep it so that your LGS doesn't look like a desolate ghost town. Like,
see, the problem is you got people like us that all of a sudden now we feel disfranchised from Wizards. Now we're disgruntled and we're vocal. Yeah.
But then right. all of a sudden, you get some shit like this. Oh, man, we need our digital feed. We need that there going on. Oh, what's this, Hearthstone? Oh, my goodness. Why is this? You know, it's not as good as Magic. Sure, right. the game's not there, but, you know, I'm getting this
execution
itch.
Is
I'm getting it a little bit better.
See, this has always been like, whoa. Like Hearthstone, not like the whole like Hearthstone's not a competitor thing. That's it, because like to your target demographic as Wizards of the Coast, your target demographic is the new player, like the brand new kid that's coming in and wants to get into your game. And I'm not even gonna get into fucking Magic Online. I'm just talking like paper Magic versus Hearthstone or whatever. We all know that Hearthstone isn't Magic because it doesn't have the depth of storyline. It doesn't have the depth of like the complexity that Magic does with all the cards and all the interactions and all that shit. And we love that. Your new player doesn't know shit about that. They're just like, oh man, this game seems fun, but I gotta buy these cards. And then, whoa, shit, look at the prices of these cards. That's crazy. Like I bought a bunch of packs and I put together this shitty deck and I played a couple times with my friend. Then I went on the internet and I saw that there's this way better card I could put on my deck, but they're $20 a piece or they're $40 a piece. Wait, I could just go on Hearthstone and play this? Like, this is way easier. They don't understand that.
I take $40 in Hearthstone, and all of a sudden, I got a bunch of these cards. It's not nearly as expensive. And
right, like, I could just sit around and play this shit on my fucking laptop. Like, your average, normal fucking, you know, kid that you're trying to draw into the fucking game is going to be like, all right, well, oh, shit, you guys got an online version, too? Let's check that out. Never mind. Yes. I'm going to go back to playing.
Most kids aren't going to go down that road. And they acquire cards slower than that. I think another important thing to really point out here is you can't fault Wizards of the Coast. You can't fault Hasbro. They're omnipotent in this. And they are just looking at the margins. They're just looking at the quarterly reports. But you can't fault Wizards because the model works. If I sit around and talk about how much I fucking love Mario 64, that was the best fucking Mario game ever. That's what I fucking love. When I think of Mario, that's what I think of. Sure, it's a little glitchy. Sure, like the physics aren't fucking great. The camera angles are fucking miserable, but it's the best thing ever. Why don't you fucking fix it? Why don't you mod it? Why don't you let me like update it and play it competitively? And Nintendo's like, yeah, but we make, you know, this new Wii now. Like you should buy that. I love that you love that game. Yeah. I love it. You love Mario. I'm going to continue to support you, and you talk about that all you want. But we don't sell that anymore. You should really buy this new thing.
But then don't sell Modern Masters or, you know, like Final Fantasy VII HD. You know, don't bring it back like that. Or, you know,
it's hard to fault them for that too, right? I hear Final Fantasy for your iPhone is like $20.
Yes, I bought Final Fantasy Tactics for the iPad for, I think it was like 15. And you know what? It took me a while to do that. But then I realized there's no other tactics game as good as Final Fantasy Tactics.
What about Magic the Gathering Tactics?
Oh.
That was the most god-awful thing.
That was an abortion.
I mean, to try to wrap up my feelings on this, it's a culmination of a lot of things. And I think any given day, any given week, we come together and complain about a particular one, and it's hard to step back and look at all of them. And yes, we are in an awkward time of growth. We are in an awkward time in the game where there is such explosion. Wizards acknowledges there's such explosion in the player base, but not enough time has gone by to even try and rectify these issues. You get to see little hints at it. You get to see little bits of information. And if you aren't knowing exactly what to look for, you don't see those signs. Modern Masters 2 or Modern Masters 2015 is a really good road sign along the highway to kind of notice that, okay, they've upped printing. Like, that was a quality set overall. They're kind of trying to address the issue, but there are a lot of other issues going on there. I have said this at least 10 times already, and I will continue to say it until it happens. Eventually, Modern will need to become a rotating format. Hopefully, it'll become a rotating format that allows someone like Matty to come in and out of the game at his leisure and still feel like he can be competitive and not have to update his card pool or his deck too much. But it has to happen. It cannot be successful if it stays on this current road. No Magic format has ever been that way, especially one that they want to make a Pro Tour format and they want to support.
They don't
this
want
level.
To make it. We made that happen. Here's something to think about, though, that I was just thinking. Do you think the problem with Modern is that they are too open about what card they're never, or what design space they feel is just never going to be touched again? Because, like, once you know, Blood Moon is way too powerful for Modern, but we're going to leave it in there anyways. You know that card is safe. Maybe if they would just shut the fuck up and not say those things, would that change anything?
But people,
I don't know.
But people, other people are always going to say
things. Yeah, I guess. Or when it's out of
Morrow articles or Rosewater articles about design are going to give you insight on these things. And Magic players aren't stupid. They're going to be like, you know, if you think about it, if they were to reprint a card like Blood Moon nowadays in a standard set, people would kind of question, like, why does this card really exist? Like, why is it here?
It wouldn't do anything would like, in standard. It would be like a sideboard card that would probably not see any
play. So I'm saying another variation of that card is extraordinarily unlikely, which is what makes it a great speculator target for everyone out there that thinks
it's something that really baffles my mind is like Blood Moon. In standard, Blood Moon would do nothing, and it wouldn't break standard. It would be fine, and it would lower the
pun actually against. Zapsand Dex, it'd be kind of a fun card.
I'm just saying, like, that's a card that you could easily put in standard, and it would instantly have the price in modern. So, like, I just don't understand why they don't do more of that.
Well, and you don't even have to look at it that far. Like, to be honest with you, like, they've got enough supplementary sets or releases that, like, even if it, like, Blood Moon's a bad example, because, yeah, like you guys are saying, like, Blood Moon wouldn't really cause a fucking problem in standard, but like even if it is a card that would cause a problem in standard, like, you know, maybe like reprinting fucking Goyf in standard, maybe they've thought about it more than we have and they're like, that's a terrible idea. There's nothing stopping them from putting it in a commander product, putting it in a fucking modern event deck, putting in, you know, whatever the fucking case
may
be.
Yeah, there is. Do you know what's stopping it? $200. That's what's stopping it. Dude, they 100%, listen, 100% guarantee that they sit there with a financial, like a fucking calculator and a spreadsheet, and they cost out, based on the current price of cards, what they can put in a set. That they 100 bullshit. Yeah. I guarantee you they do that.
Slightly, yeah.
Snapcaster Mage will never be in any other thing ever, besides if they ever choose to put it in Modern Masters. It will never be. It's $70, it's too high. Once a card gets over a certain price, they just cross it off the list because it's too dangerous. Because then
too dangerous. Dangerous of what? Like, it's going to cause nuclear war? What the fuck are you talking about?
Setting all the collectors and speculators that put all the money in the card and now they can't make the money back because they spent $50 and they wanted
$100. That's right.
And now the card is $25.
I would love it if my collection was half.
Snapcaster hasn't been reprinted yet because Snapcaster's broken. It's fucking really fucking good.
It's broken.
And it also just got printed a couple years ago.
I think you're crazy to think that R&D lives in fear of Magic players. Because what you're describing a group of people that are fearful.
They live in fear of me.
Of a $55 Magic
card. Dude, I guarantee you they do. Because if you're sitting there and you're not stupid. These guys are smart guys. And you're like, let's make a shit ton of money. Right? Hey, Mark Rosewater. Hey, everyone. You guys want to raise? Do you all want to make $5,000 more? Well, let's fucking make money. Like, they could totally do that.
So off the record with Aaron, I can tell you that they get more aggressive with products when there is a year that does not have a Transformers movie.
Well, there you go. So let's hope Michael Bay is not making Transformer movies.
So hey,
That's sad that your Magic set is based on fucking that. Ugh.
All right. I'm gonna try to steer this conversation away from crazy shit like that and talk about another reason that the modern is doomed is because you're talking about a card like Blood Moon. Blood Moon is there's a certain avenue of conversation to have there. I think we've had it. I think that another thing to really understand is think about the decks that are in the format. Think about a deck like Splinter Twin. What's gonna cause a deck like that to go away?
Ban Splinter Twin.
As players aren't big fans of banning cards, right? If there's anything that hurts a card financially, it's a ban, right? We can all agree that that's bad. We don't want to do that.
So
what
you
other
print
way?
Something in standard that seems fucking arbitrary, and then but is also a huge fucking like roadblock for Splinter.
They have Rakdos Charm. Like they've printed answers.
Yeah, I know,
but they just don't. They're not good enough. The answers aren't good enough.
No.
Okay, okay, that is, I agree with that. I agree. In the past, I have lived through playing Magic in the days of cards like Tasabo's Web, Teferi's Response, Tasabo's Decree, a bunch
now
of
now you're
shit
just making up
like,
you know how much he loves being able to just drop shit on us like that? He's like, I'm gonna drop like,
yeah, we know all those. We know like, those cards, sure.
If you literally just look up the card Teferi's Response, right, and then you read it, and you're like, why the fuck is this a card? It kind of sets in over a little bit of time. Dasabo's Decree is kind of cool. The other one's
so
fucking...
Explain it out. Can you explain one of them out so people could have a grasp and understand what you're saying?
Yeah. So my point is that Wizards has tried to make...
He's over because he doesn't actually have it memorized. Nice one.
Somebody fact-check these for us. Come back
somebody
to
call
comment.
Him out of his shit here.
Two mana instant.
Hey, what a fucking asshole. All right, go on.
No, I want to hear this. I believe in this guy.
He's the fucking name dropper of, like, all time. All right, just start rambling off Magic cards that are, like, so old no one's even played with them.
It's blue in one instant, counter target spell or ability, and a controls that target a land you control.
All right, that sounds like total garbage.
If a permanence ability is countered in this way, destroy that permanent. Draw two cards.
Hmm.
I don't know what you just said, little kid, but you touch above her heart.
What was that a foil for?
A Rashadan Port.
Okay.
So it was a two mana blue LD spell against Rashadan Port that also drew two cards.
See, that should be played in Legacy.
I see where you're getting. I see where you're getting because like it was a something that did something to a different card.
Old
way too much magic talk.
You could cunning wish for it, but it was super narrow. My point is, like, when it was in standard, like, shit like that got printed. And I don't think, you know, Wizards has learned from those mistakes. They don't want to make cards that are extremely narrow. This was a fucking rare, for crying out loud. Imagine being a fucking 11-year-old kid. You buy the fucking five-color suite, like, the same set that has fucking Wrath. And the whole Elder Dragon cycle or whatever from that set, and you open fucking Teferi's Response in the pack. How fucking pissed would you be?
That's the same shit that happens every fucking
exactly.
set.
Exactly.
Like, even the sets
go through anywhere.
Out, like, right
25%
now.
Of them are fucking trash. Stop making shitty cards, Wizards. Just make better cards.
Because that's your card
you
worth.
All, Maddie. You want it all.
That's all feel bad.
Sorry.
We don't want to print narrow answers. Because that also creates new feel bads, and it doesn't even work. You're telling me that they've made charms, they made fucking other cards to hose Splinter Twin Combo, and it hasn't even been good enough up until this point.
The charms are helping. So, I like those. They're good.
Charm's always been the fucking, like, the answer to fucking Splinter Twin, but it doesn't do you a whole lot of good unless it's like you're in the right colors in the right deck. That's the issue.
Let's be honest. The problem is blue, right? Like, that's the problem of Magic. Counter magic, because no matter what you do, if someone has counter magic, you're like, fuck. There you go, right?
That was the best, Maddie. Hold up. Tag that one. Hold up. What was the time for that one?
The problem.
You gotta enter the podcast and do
that's
the problem.
Fast style. Just be like that.
Obviously, you blue fucking magic.
You guys are your counter magic. Like, what is that shit? Where's my damage that can't be prevented? Nonsense.
Wait, I think I hear TSG, like, rolling out the back door right now.
No, it's fine.
I'm joking around.
My point is that the
he
deck...
Derailed the train. Kevin,
hold on. TSG's trying to counter this argument.
I'm not trying to counter it. I'm just trying to say that...
He silenced it.
That's uncounterable.
That's it. Side game of Salmon Ball to determine Blue's future.
Way too white of him. It's way too wide of me.
No, all of these concerns have been voiced. A lot of these arguments are valid. And yet, the format is still defined by very few cards and very few decks. It needs to rotate. It needs to change.
I would love it. I agree 100%.
Allowed to evolve. Okay, well, you're the guy that 30 minutes ago was like, I fucking bought into this thing. Don't you dare fucking change it.
What are you talking about? I never once said that. I've been a fan of a rotating ban list in Modern since day one. I think that's a great idea.
Well, a rotating ban list is different from rotating the fucking blocks.
I don't like rotating the blocks, no. Leave the cards, just rotate the ban list. What's wrong with that?
Because if you rotate the ban list, then people arbitrarily lose cards. People don't know. It's like fucking
good. Fuck them.
That's not magic. Magic is not your fucking 401k, guys. Stop it.
Everyone holding onto their death rite shamans the day it got banned were pretty fucking sad.
I don't give a fuck. Fuck them. You shouldn't be doing that. It's a game. It's not meant for you to sit here and just count your fucking dollar bills, y'all. And if you have some dumb fucking stack of 1,000 magic cards in your basement because you're specking on something, suck my balls. You're fucking suck when it rotates out. Tough shit, bro. Tough shit. It's a fucking game. It's not a 401k
investment.
It's not a bank account. Get the fuck out. You lose. Eat a dick. That's right. Wah, wah. Go buy the next fucking awesome card we're selling you. Come on, man. Come on.
Did Marcel pass the salt shaker?
I just don't.
We got the
horns. I'm just saying.
She's raining out here.
I'm just saying. Look. I'm tired of, like, all this pussyfooting around the value. Just print good cards, let's play the game, ban the ones that are a problem, bring Jace the Mind
Sculptor
back.
Yeah, but included in play the game is play fucking Seal Deck, Draft, and Standard, which none of you guys want to fucking do right now. Those are the people that get rewarded. Those are the people that...
What did I say? Magic is not for me. See? This is what I'm saying.
What they need to do is, though... If they fix Moto, all of a sudden, I'm spending all that money. I'm going to be drafting packs here, you know, doing this, that, there. But, you know, Moto's so crappy right now in leagues, and it's so expensive.
Well, hey,
you know,
Marcel,
I could spend $14 for a draft, or I could take that $14 and I could play a lot of arena.
Marcel is definitely the poster child.
You could literally buy two bottles of vodka.
You could have so much more fun with two bottles of vodka. You know, I'm saying.
Not yourself with your old magic cards and two bottles of vodka as opposed to, like, I don't know, a couple random fucking people and fucking three packs of magic cards. Fuck that.
Marcel should be the poster child of somebody that was just fucking choked out of MTGO. There was a time where you were playing standard. You were playing the game, moving the cards at the right time, getting the new cards, staying on top of the shit.
Yeah, it's
but
a full-time
Moto
job
doing that. Fuck.
Yeah, that's exactly it. That's why I went into Modern and went into Legacy at the same time because I bought a bunch of Legacy cards and Vintage Masters came, so it was like the
what
time
a waste.
Get out of Standard.
Oh,
it was during Mono Blue and Mono Black, so I bought a bunch of those cards and they spiked and I said this is the worst format ever and I sold everything and it was the best thing I've ever done on Moto. It was the smartest financial move in my life and everything went downhill from that point forward. But
how are you liking all your Vintage cards, Marcel?
Oh my god.
Oh man.
Anyway, so but the point of the matter is, you know, like, yeah, you learn standard is bad and you learn that the hype or you only can keep up with it so much and you want to be part of it, but what Magic makes its money off of it is the draft system and, you know, is going. But if you think about it, this is a digital game and the cost of it, if you just try to explain this to a common person and you're really trying to get new people to come into the game. You know, you just explained how the new people, the fresh people, the sheep are the people that support the game. That's what Hasbro wants. But have you tried to get anyone into Magic Online?
No, Magic Online, like, is a cluster. And hey, listen, we got the biggest announcement in what, 3 years? Leagues is coming, but we don't know when. And it's going to be focused around Constructed. So.
But you know, hey, let's be happy.
I'm happy. I think that's cool, man.
Finally got fucking leagues, but it's not limited. Sure, limited is where it's at.
I don't know. I would play Constructed. I have no interest in playing limited leagues. I would love to play Constructed. Could you imagine that if they allow us to form our own league? Heavy Metal League, sign up 20 people, we all put in 20 tickets or whatever, and then boom, you play your deck for like... That would be awesome, man. That would be fucking awesome.
Yeah, but it's a good idea, so they're not going to do it.
Yeah, and that sucks.
I mean, and it's all got to work, but at the same time, you got to just think about the cost. I just think Magic's just too expensive on Magic Online. But the leagues, you know, leagues are a step, and it's them accepting the fact that, you know, they got to evolve with the digital realm, and leagues allows that because you bite-sized your magic in there. And Constructed is honestly probably a little bit easier to implement and everything compared to the limited. So hopefully we get that gets going, and then we'll get the limited soon. Because I played the limited leagues before, you know, it went down, and it's actually not bad at all. I enjoy it because adding a pack to your seal pool just gives you this, I don't know, you like rebuilding stuff. So, like, all of a sudden, you know, you have this deck, but then you get this new pack and it changes your entire color combination. So it just has this evolving feel that if you like deck building, it just really scratches that itch very well. So, you know, it's a matter of just doing it right. But you want to get people in. The cost has to be right. You got Hearthstone as a competitor. You can't be saying, like, oh, I'm going to charge you $30 and you get open to these cards and then that's it. And, like, you know, you can't really do much about that. We're not going to tell you how to sell your cards for the correct price. So you can sell it to, you know, maybe the wrong bot and just get, you know, ran the incorrectly and you don't have anything going. So, it's, I don't know. To me, it doesn't feel like a positive environment that you need to succeed in this digital world that's going on. And it's just sad to see Magic as a dinosaur that is doing. And I want Magic Online to be better because I'm so invested into it, but it's frustrating.
Yeah. And on that note, let's put Magic in the grave.
Yeah, talking about Magic, what the fuck is this cast?
I know, I thought we were.
What the fuck, Marcel? You come on here and you ruin it?
I don't know, if you re-listen to this shit, it's mostly you talking about Magic, Marcel, not me.
Damn it,
that's totally real.
What the fuck's wrong?
You pour that salt on yourself.
I'm a slug, I'm a puddle right now after all the salt. But,
God damn Magic City.
All right, well, I don't think, I mean, we've definitely...
I may have drunk too much.
You probably did.
Yes!
You know what that's time for? What time is it, Gumby?
Field reporting! Yes.
Hey, yeah, Marcel, we're going to need you to go to the bus stop.
Let's do it.
Go out to the alley and find a homeless person.
Let's ask him about the economy on Magic Online. See what he says.
Let's ask him about his dead parents. See how serious we can get this one.
Oh, that's horrible. Well,
Marcel's all not no, like, seriously, I'm on my way out the door. I'm going to the fucking
house. Yes or no? I can make it happen.
Well, hey, do we want to do the fucking, just do the Twitter hole with Marcel, or do we want to get fucking Marcel asking random-ass people?
Oh, we got, like 60 Twitter hole questions, so I don't know. We might.
Here's the main question. Marcel, how much of a fucking inconvenience would be for you to have to go to the fucking... If you're like, oh, hey, man, there's literally a fucking bus stop, like a fucking minute and a half walk from my house... We may go through the Twitter hole questions and be like, all right, Marcel, go run down to the bus stop and we'll start asking fools.
Yeah, but, I mean, it literally is a bus stop, like a 5-minute walk away.
So I'll tell you what, we can always keep that for extreme Patreon subscribers
in the future.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
We'll do that in the future. So, you know, this can happen. I'll be back on Heavy Metal again. One time we're going to bring back the Roman Reporter when the time's right. But, you know, let's go deep in the hole because the hole is deep. And you got to get out there while
and
still. And
you know
slipper.
We could also take up fucking 2-3 hours worth of Twitter hole questions. Like, you guys have listened to this podcast before.
Yeah.
We could probably.
I haven't. It sounds pretty shitty. What is it about?
Well, let's.
It's about drinking.
No, I'm in.
It's loosely based around this Magic the Gathering card game that some of these people play. But it's mainly about drinking.
All right.
Here we go.
I'm gonna make my drink disappear.
All right. So the Twitter hole has begun, gentlemen. Lane Frost, underscore Frost 50, underscore, I like that second underscore the most. He says, is Marcel asking more Twitter hole questions to people on the street? Well, guess what? We've already answered that to you. Not this week. But soon.
Not yet this week.
It might happen. I don't know. I don't know. Jay Boosh asks, I thought you guys loved Teespring. Jay, you should listen to this fucking show and you would know what the hell happened. So I'm going to ignore that question and keep moving down. We have a good one here. Actually, what is that? He's repeating questions. People, if we do not answer your total question, consider it not valid or not worthy. Do not re-ask us next week with the same one. All right, here you go. Signature cocktail. On the menu tonight, named after a card in Modern, what are you calling it? That's Kelso Balduvian Bears. Give that one at us.
I'm drinking squirt and vodka. I'm gonna go ahead and call that a Kitkin because it's just like a little squirt of a cocktail. It's just a little tiny guy. I'm gonna call it a Kitkin. What are you guys drinking?
Well, I'm drinking some Hennessy White that I got over in Mexico when I was out there. You can't get out here, but.
Ooh.
If I had to make a card, it'd be Abrupt Decay, and it'd be Absinthe and Everclear.
Oh. Absinthe and Everclear. Jesus Christ. That's like cocaine abrupt and
decay.
Mushrooms.
Abrupt Decay. Nice.
It's not Abrupt Decay. That's Terminate.
I feel like depending on the drinker, any one of these cocktails could just be terminated.
Wow.
Yeah, I think that my drinking habit is just
Hebron.
Exile.
Oh, you bastard. I was just going to say that was the drink I made.
Ah, you fucker.
That was with the shitty tequila.
Fuck off.
Too much fucking orange liqueur.
Too much tequila.
Too tweekila. TSG doesn't drink, so.
Tequila Mockingbird. Well, you saw where I was right before I got the call.
It would have been ill-advised to be drinking on my drive home to get to the cast.
He drinks like Kool-Aid.
Whatever. Kind of lost you 5 times.
Hey, it would have been pretty safe, because if you would have hit somebody, you'd have been going like 5 miles an hour.
As long as you periscope it for evidence.
Hey, at least if you would have hit someone, you had a good reason, you know?
Yeah, I was trying to get home to the podcast, and I was also
I don't know if you know this, Ossifer, but I'm kind of
a fur. Let me start naming magic cards from the past 20 years.
Yeah. You ever heard of Jace the Mind Sculptor?
Let me give you Teferi's response to this, all right?
Yeah, he's giving you a ticket. You're like, abrupt decay that, I'm sorry.
Abrupt decay. Like, 49 out of 50 times, that shit's not going to work. But that
one time the guy's a magic player?
He's
yes.
Just gonna be like, he's so, oh shit, you're TSG? Oh snap, he's like, I signed this bonfire for you. Just don't even worry about it.
I love you so much, dude.
I love you too, Kevin.
TSG's cocktail bonfire.
The troll is heavy tonight.
Multiple levels.
Wow.
The signals are deep.
I was gonna say that, you know, we could probably get a drink.
Bonfire, damn it, is just Tristan drinking fireball with his middle finger in the air.
He's gonna channel his inner strength to drink that fireball liquor.
Oh my god! All right.
Hey, you have to channel some inner strength to drink fireball liquor.
That is garbage.
That is really the worst. It's the,
what about the people love fire cherries or whatever the fuck?
That's all garbage.
Are.
Oh, those things are fucking so good. That's a whole different story. That's not whiskey flavored like cinnamon. That's cherries just soaked in fucking moonshine. That's good shit.
All right. I'm going to keep the Twitter hole moving because Corey Adams, Knife_City, has a question for us. Wild speculation question. Upcoming Eldrazi, better than, even worse, or close to the previous Eldrazi. I'm gonna say worse because Annihilator is one of Mero's hated mechanics, and people hated it as much as Infect. No Annihilator, and you're gonna get some shitty Ulamog. I'm not excited.
Instead of Annihilator, you get like
he's devoid of playability. Oh,
I mean, if you gotta have an Eldrazi that's going to top Emrakul.
No, not in this
set. If you're going to have one, that's going to be better.
No, in the next one, Emrakul's coming back, man. 2020 for 20. I'm calling it right now.
If you don't have one of those, I don't think you're going to have an impactful Eldrazi.
Just reprint Z-Drino, but colorless, and call it Emrakul.
Oh my god, that'd be so impressive.
They're all like, look, it's Siege Rhino and Thragtusk, but it doesn't cost any colors to cast it. So you're fucking.
What do you think, Tristan?
The old Eldrazi have got to end up being better. Like, just Annihilator is so devastating the way Eldrazi, I believe, are meant to be. I feel like we're going to get a pretty bastardized version of that this next time out. It's going to be disappointing. They're going to try to make it cool where they're pulling stuff from the other dimension, and that's kind of the gimmick of it, but it's not going to fly for me.
It's kind of cool. What is it, the Realm of Endless Night or something like that? Get your Vorthos. Where's fucking Mike Vorthos when I need him? All right, so we're going.
The night is dark and full of terror. wrong fantasy world, sorry.
David, hold on. You got to ask the resident pro player what he thinks about the Eldrazi.
Yeah. What's up, Doc?
We have a pro player?
I'm gonna have to say worse because I think it's gonna be very difficult for it to be better than them. So
they were all like all together in worse, the worst camp.
Yeah. Well, now, no what, way was the question better. Just about the Eldrazi or about
just
the setting?
Just the Eldrazi.
I think that they could beat one or two of them, but there's no way they beat all of them. And my guess is that all of them are going to be significantly worse than all
now,
of them.
How does Emrakul comeback not more powerful? I don't understand.
How does
maybe
he's
in a week.
The next set, Emrakul's coming back. Come on, man.
How does Oblivion Sowers become anything other than, like, we're talking, like, Emrakul? Or even, like, Ulamog versus Oblivion Sower. Like, that's an Eldrazi. Like, that's a fucking mythic Eldrazi. Like, that card sucks compared to
Yeah, it does. I agree. But that's what we're getting, man. That's
yes.
The new world.
We're all in the camp of, like, they're not going to make it better.
All right. Well, we got a question from Bruce Reservelist. He says, if you could only speculate on one card for their whole life, what would it be? I would speculate...
Lightning Bolt.
That. Oh. I mean, I don't even know how that's even a question for Kevin. Come on.
Well, what do you mean by speculate? Like, this card is going to be
pretty
awesome.
Much, yeah. I assume.
I'll buy a whole bunch of islands because I know they're going to be played for Out Magic.
Fuck you.
That was TSG's answer right there. Anything blackboarded beta.
No. They're finally going to get rid of they're going to get rid of islands. They're going to
purple mana.
They're going to turn it purple. They're going to turn it purple and they're going to call them peninsulas.
And all your islands are worthless. That's what you get.
Yeah. So what's all your islands.
Next question. Yeah.
Okay, what would you sacrifice to have an all-out bacon-filled fest?
Ooh. I don't know, like $30 and just buy a shitload of bacon.
But no, you have to sacrifice something. So the question is, like, what...
Yeah, $30.
The answer is 3 years to your life, because that's where all that cholesterol is going
to
go.
$30 and 3 years to my life, except for I'm opting out of the, like, 3 years to my life, because the vodka is going to counteract the bacon.
Well, then, there you go.
Yeah. Yeah, well, welcome to my diet. I eat bacon constantly, but I balance it out with vodka. And, like, that whole food pyramid thing you guys were taught in school, bullshit.
Somehow I think you've got vodka, it wrong, dude. I don't know.
Bacon is on top. If you didn't realize that, then they've been telling you wrong.
The irony is that Kevy is right, and the food pyramid is bullshit. But I don't think the updated one from the Obama campaign includes the vodka.
It's just a circle split down the middle. It's vodka on one side, bacon on the other, and that's it.
And your life total is in between, right?
The heavy metal that I have witnessed in the wild is like 90% vodka, 10% T-bone steak.
There's that, too. I mean, that's not bacon, though. You know, it's just variants.
They're variants.
There's qualities of bacon. There's grease in bacon, whereas with the ribeye steak, it's not nearly amount. So Kevy just needs 10% of the grease in bacon, and then all of a sudden it absorbs all the negative parts of the alcohol, and then his liver absorbs the rest.
I feel like the bacon and the alcohol both have to take a fucking bow to, like, the, you know, supplements, like fucking Rockstar. Like, you know, they both have to, you know, they got to let a little bit in. So if we've got this circle going on and split 50-50 down the middle, they both at least got to give up like 5% to Rockstar to, you know, keep me alive or other substances, whatever.
Or other illegal
substances. To keep me alive. Yeah, we're going to just call them Rockstars.
All right. Well, here's probably one of the best questions I've heard in a long time. Of course, Booze Cube always hitting crazy mind benders out of the park. If you could resize the length of your penis in inches on the outcome of a D20 roll, do you risk it? Wow. Wow. All right. So, here's the thing. The percentages of me rolling anything over a 13 is going to be pretty low. I don't know if that works out for me. Maybe you guys under 10, it's a 50.
What's great is that, like, you know, you had that in your head. That's the first thing I went to, too. But I was just all, I don't know, 4, 5, 6. I'm not even sure. But, and then, oh, my God. I love you, Maddie.
I mean, in all reality, like, we're probably all packing in around the 5 to 7 range.
It depends. It depends on, like, I've made it known. I'm hung like a light switch. Like, all of those dick pics that you guys get are like trick photography.
That's you in full mast, right? You're just like, hey guys, that's what you get.
Mm-hmm. No, see, he went the route where he's trying to next level. He's equipped his dick with like 2 pounds of metal to stretch it out. Mm-hmm. He's going the full Yubangi.
That shit is legit right there, though. That people do that.
Hey, gravity is a thing, and so if you attach, like, 20 pounds of lead to your dick,
it's gonna do something.
I wonder how many like centimeters does your dick increase every year?
It's gonna make instead of looking like a small child's dick, then it's gonna look like a
sock. you're dealing like, with a.
We need to avoid this conversation.
I can't create mass. Yeah,
you're dealing with a finite amount of flesh.
It's just in a different shape.
You're Play-Doh in your own dick here. Well, I don't know, Marcel, do you got to answer this question? Are you rolling?
Yeah, I mean, I just need to add a little bit of girth, so I'll take the chance.
In all honesty, I think we all need to answer this. Like, jokes aside, you know, knowing what you're packing, do you roll a D20?
If it depends on where. You know, and honestly, no.
It depends on where you roll the D20.
Yeah, no, I'm saying.
It don't matter where you roll it.
If it's going for length, then I wouldn't take the chance.
Yeah, it's length. Yeah,
it's girth, then I'll take the chance. Yeah. Oh, no, then no, yeah, I would not take the chance. No, just no way.
I mean, here's the question. I mean, you know, do you want a 20-inch long dick? I don't know. Right, like
I mean that's where you have.
Do you know how much money you can
play salmon ball your dick.
Like, you've got this thing.
Won't be having.
No. I get that, but I've had plenty. Now, like here I am, like all
he's like, you know what I haven't had? That's a fire hose attached to my dick.
Yes! Exactly! Do you know how much supplemental
income?
You're talking
about sex like, it's like, oh, I've already had it enough that I don't ever want it anymore.
No.
That's like a billionaire. I've had enough dollars. I don't need them anymore.
What I'm saying is like, you know, I'm floating like, you know, my personal life. Like, I'm floating decent, but then like, I could roll and I could get a little bit longer and then just make it that much bigger and that much fun. Like, if I lose out, like, I have enough faith in my wife that she'd be like, oh, we both tried, and we both really wanted that thing to get longer, but it didn't, and now you're stuck shorter, and that really sucks. There's always, you know, I feel like she's still
staying with me.
The real question is
if you're rolling a D10.
That's what I'm saying. Well,
a
like,
D20
if
is unrealistic.
I don't know.
A D10.
Yeah, because that's the thing is, like, fucking, like, rolling a D20, like, you're pretty much guaranteed, except for that random shit roll. Like, now you're in fucking, now you're in porno. And that's a whole other conversation you have to have with your wife.
If you're rolling the 10 plus, like, you're going to have a hard time finding a hole to stuff that in. You know?
Not even a hole, just in your pants. Like, that's just.
No, oh, I'm not worried. I'm not worried if it's a whole day. I'm talking about being a sideshow circus freak.
Hey, here's the question that none of you guys are asking. You roll the D20, but if you do roll it, your wife has to roll a D20 as well to determine the size of her hole.
Ooh.
That's not even close. Like, that's obviously a no. You don't do
that
it.
That just sounded weird.
I think to equate that, you would have to be like, they roll a D4, because that's still scary.
Because we're still talking inches.
That's true. We'd have to switch that shit up. Wow, that was interesting. Boost Cube had a follow-up. What?
I was going to say, like, I think I would definitely roll. Definitely fucking roll that shit.
Yeah, we discussed it. We never answered.
I would definitely roll because, you know what? If I, like, I've got a lot better chance of it getting longer, and either I'm going to get a little bit longer, you know, make my wife happy, or I'm going to get extremely longer where I'm going to have to find other ways to make my wife happy because I'm not welcoming her vagina anymore. But I could also, like, you know, sell that shit on the side market. Like, you'd be like, check this out.
He already gives it away for free. Yeah. If it's 20 inches, like, he can make money off that
20
shit.
20 inches long, and, like, I'll join the fucking circus. Like,
see, Kevin's going to join the plumber's union, and he'll be making his adopt.
See? Telling you. Shit's going to get weird after that, but I'll definitely roll it, because, I mean, like, the downside, like, I mean, I'm only talking losing a couple inches here. And, like, the downside there is, like, ah, we lost the lottery again, babe.
Again? Oh, sigh.
Yeah. Oh, no. Like, I'll just roll a D20 again next week on Wednesday and check that Powerball. Fuck it.
Well, okay, if it all goes wrong, Robot Large, who doesn't give us questions usually, but he decided to grace us with a beauty, if, let's say, we roll the D20 and it goes bad, he's like, would you rather have nipple-sized penis or penis-sized nipples?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, penis-sized nipples without a doubt.
Yeah, yeah, no, that's not a question.
You want to talk about circus sideshow?
I mean, you can put glitter on those things. You can fucking put tassels at the end of them. You get them in rhythm together. That's cool. You get them fighting against each other and swinging the opposite way. You're a goddamn star. Fuck that. Like, you know, and then, like, I would much rather have my nipples the size of my fucking penis than I would fucking... Oh,
okay. If you would have the first official tattooed nipples, that'd be over 3 inches.
What is,
yeah.
Is there like a Guinness World Record for 3-inch nipples?
Guinness Book of World Records for fucking tattooed nipples, and I'm also selling my fucking D20 on the side. Like, you guys have no idea.
Man, Ken's a millionaire. Thank you. You just gave him a plan.
Yeah. Hey, I'm going to Shark Tank this shit next week.
Wow. How much percentage are you going to give them up for that?
Lamest laugh I've ever done.
I don't know. I feel like I'm going to have to roll a D20 to see, or a D10, I guess. Okay.
All right, let's do it for real. Do you guys have a D20? Who's got a D20 right now? Let's do it.
I got one.
Hold on.
I got one right now.
Wait.
All right.
I'll get one. All right.
Are these the sequential ones or the fucking random
ones? I don't know.
Ones?
It's a purple one.
Is it MTG dice?
Yeah.
Is it a life counter?
That's sequential, okay. Then.
Don't get all technical, right? Don't get technical with me. We're rolling for our dick size.
Hey, this shit matters. It's the size of our dicks.
I got D20.
We're all going to roll.
Actually, hold on.
Hey, no roll equals zero.
What's the rule?
The rule is we're all going to roll at once. Whoa.
All right, so we're all going to go first to see how long our dick
shit
is.
I got a 17-inch dick. Damn, that's way too long. All
right, here we go. Oh, fuck, I got a 3-inch. Shit. Well, I shouldn't have rolled, man.
Oh!
I shouldn't have rolled.
Oh, man, I hit 5.
Is that an improvement?
This probably, it's probably 11. Rolling a little less.
Oh, 11 is good.
Wait.
Wait, you guys already rolled? Work.
Yeah, we already rolled.
Kevy, it's all on Kevy. Where's Kevy going?
I rolled a 5, man.
Oh, so you gained. Cool.
I can love way through that.
Exactly.
TSG, what did you roll? What a bastard. Gumby, what are you rolling?
I haven't rolled yet. You want me to roll? You fucking bastards, not even waiting. Jesus.
Zero. You lose.
Yep. I rolled a 3, so that's unfortunate. All right.
Now me and Gumby tied for 3, so we roll off now.
We gotta roll again?
I don't think so.
This is for
we have to have a cockfight to determine.
You're allowed to.
This is for millimeters. This is for millimeters.
Oh, it's
right
here.
Wait. Are you still rolling one of them sequential ones? Because mine's random.
I don't even know. It's a dice. It's fucking random.
We're supposed to roll a random one? Oh shit! I rolled 12.
So what? You added 12 millimeters? Now you're 4 point. I don't even know.
Oh god, that's
I'm not doing math. Fuck this.
Didn't even matter if I rolled a 20. I was still gonna fucking lose in a bit. All
right. Well, that was a good thing. I think most of us would have been happy not to roll.
Wait. Was this hard or was this soft? Because I feel like I'm at an advantage because I am definitely a grower, not a shower.
I think you're metagaming this right now.
Maybe. I got to strategize the best I can.
No, hold on. Seriously, no, that was the soft roll. Now we have to have Maddie and his penis nipples. Maddie and his penis nipples need to, like, get us
in. Oh, wait, are we rolling for the size of our penis nipples now? I'm not rolling. I choose no roll. Right.
Yeah, penis nipples.
Yeah, I rolled a 2. Fuck you.
Oh, shit.
Oh, 11. Oh, good. 11 inch penis nipples.
I got a 5-inch penis and 15-inch penis.
I just rolled a fucking 20. What the fuck is that? So I have a 3-inch dick and 20-inch nipple penises?
Hey, Maddie, there you go.
You can do some shit.
You know what?
Maddie, I got a job at the circus. Like,
the twin penis nipple brothers.
We call you Pretzel, man.
No, I get a referral.
I make balloons for kids.
I was already on the carnival plan, and then now I get a referral credit for bringing a friend. Now I get the Ferris wheel.
When I think of like 15-inch long nipples, I think of like you remember the Red Vine dispenser in Wayne's World? You know, like You gotta like wrap them up or something to like store them.
Oh, you know what? I would just tie them in a pretzel shape and I would just use it.
You have to start.
I just work
Raws
it.
And just fucking, yeah. You know, hooking them up.
So you know what you could do? You could spray them all with like spray tan and put like little dripples of salt on them. Make it look.
Now that we've rolled dice and figured out our theoretical fucking nipple and penis sizes through a D20. And none of us has a Kraken D20,
no,
by the way.
No, we fucked up. They're large.
I will. And Venomade Designs. Those things are fucking sweet. None of us has one of those. But we should probably move on to the next Twitter hole question, because I have a 5-inch penis and 15-inch nipples.
Like, he's happy right now. He's like, I would.
All I gotta do is drink more of this.
All right. Here's a great one. Justin Waterfield, Lunchbox 601, has Quest. You see three doors. One with a dong on it, one with a dagger, and the third with a platypus. Which door do you open? Now, I'm going to assume... I'm going to assume... Oh, hold on. No. Okay, that's another question. I thought he had two questions. I'm assuming we're in a quest. Right. So we're in a dungeon, okay? Let's assume that we're being chased by something, and... because otherwise nobody's choosing the fucking dong door.
Well, if you're being chased by something, that's like you're gonna have to make a hasty decision.
That's right.
Like
it has to be instantaneous.
Just coming through the all right.
I mean,
we're being chased,
but you got to think of it like this: they're going to try to second guess you because you're not going to go for the dong, so you might want to go straight for.
Well,
the
dong. That's my first thought was I'm going straight for the dong. I didn't give a shit what the other ones were. Like, I mean, he might have said.
Kevin's philosophy is go with what you know.
Yeah, it's like right after that, Maddie might have been like, "Oh, there's these three doors, and then I'm all dong door," and he's just all, "That's your sexual preference for the rest." Of like my first thought was just like, "Go for the dong door because it's got to be fucking better than what you think it is."
And it's all in the timing. And if you would have said dong door first, Kevin would have ran towards that. You could have said Kraken third; it would not have mattered. He would have been already through the dong door before he got there.
I agree. He sees a dick and he is straight through that door. That does make a lot of sense. But I mean, if I'm in a dungeon and I'm being presented with a platypus, I mean, they're not even okay. Here's the question. Justin, when you give us a Twitter hole question, we need detail. You cannot just say a dong on it, because is that a wooden carved dong in a elaborate door? Is it a actual flesh dong with a nail through it and blood soaking down on it? Like, what am I dealing with here? So I'm going to assume I'm in a dungeon. I'm going to assume there is a dick cut off in a door. I'm going to assume that there's a dagger in one door, and I'm assuming there's a dead platypus head stapled to a door. I am choosing the platypus.
What the fuck?
Come on, right? That's what I am deep into this question. I'm assuming I'm just escaped a bunch of goblins that were like trying to maybe come after my 15-inch nipple dicks, but like I'm going straight through the platypus door just because it's a fucking platypus.
And it must mean there's water. So there's like a river or something that you can't get out of there.
Dick bit off. Yeah, you're gonna get your dick bit off by a fucking mammal that has.
Yeah, but I have 15-inch nipple dicks. I want to get rid of one or two of them.
They go for his nipples first.
Well, maybe it's gonna go for your nipples first. You don't get to decide this shit.
I'm like a level 43 dick nipple mage, man. I am gonna be able to control this shit, dude.
It's fair.
Right?
I'm not going
like dong and dagger. No, I'm out, man. That's where the assassins are?
He rolled a 20 on nipples. He gets like some bonus or something because he rolled a 20 for his nipples. So they're like magically enhanced.
Maybe they have like some ability.
They whip around. They're like Emrakul.
4-inch nipples, they gotta be magically enhanced.
They got a jest, so they're gonna mill the top card of the library.
Maybe a platypus jumps up, starts sucking on my nipple dicks, and I start planeswalking. I don't know. Fuck, it could happen.
I'm gonna laugh when like the dagger door is just like, oh, here's a dagger. Continue through the fucking.
Good thing you didn't go through those other armory doors.
Yeah. The other doors were fucking terrible. Like all sorts of weird shit's gonna happen. Get your dick bit off. There's gonna be dongs in your mouth. Like, oh, here's the dagger door. You just get a dagger and get to continue through the dungeon.
Where's the armory and you get everything you need to beat everything, and you're like, oh,
They're like, we tried to show you guys on the, like, when we built this dungeon, we tried to show you guys on the door what was in store for you, but you guys overthought the shit out of it.
It could be. Yeah, it could be.
This was a GM that was SVU GM, so they tried to make it as basic as they possibly could. They're like, but they still fucked it up. Like, we gave them the pad.
These guys are probably going to be real drunk when they get here. So let's just make this as obvious as possible. Like, either you get a dagger, or you get a dong in the face, or we're drunk too. Let's just put a platypus on the other door. And then we all decided to fucking work our way into this and be like, oh, I don't know, maybe the platypus is going to eat your dick off. Oh, wait a second. I'm gonna go dong because they would have been thinking I wouldn't pick dong. And they're like, oh, man, like, we're your friends. We were just trying to help. But you guys fucked this up again. I feel like that's what the Twitter hole is anyway. They're like, man, we're trying to fucking hand serve you these questions, and we just keep fucking them up.
This is a train wreck. Please avoid this. Don't derail the train. Kevy, don't give the keys to Kevy.
Yeah, don't jump trains.
Jump train. All right, well, let's just keep this train totally derailed then. Zeki Sage of Stone, Zektown asks us, if you had to walk around knuckled, now we'll talk about this term knuckled, into a celebrity's butt with the Headmeta butt plug, who would it be? So I assume, what are we talking about? Like, I shoved my hand
knuckled, like,
into the like, butt plug, like, and then it, like, knuckled, swelled up and I can't get it out? No.
If you're to walk into a club knuckled up, like, with the fucking, the Headmeta SVU butt plug, like, if you're just walking into a random club with, like, the Headmeta butt plug on each fucking hand.
Oh,
like,
okay. Yeah, but it says I'm knuckled into a celebrity's butt. Right? See, this is where you tricked.
So you're fisting because you're using you see
to the knuckle, remember, right?
Is the dildo? Yeah, is the dildo on basically a brass knuckle? Okay,
but it's got vacuum.
And so you're punching. You're basically using it as a punching dildo.
You're butt punching.
So is the question like who would I want to butt punch and then walk around with, or who did I get so upset at that I butt punched?
I don't know. You're the one reading the question. You got to read the question.
Okay, yeah, exactly. You're the game
master. I will read it verbatim. If you had to walk around knuckled into a celebrity's butt with the Headmeta butt plug, who would it be?
Right.
Oh. So you're being drugged around for them because they got it in their butt currently. So you're being you're following them to wherever they're at.
No, you get to.
You're kind of leading them around. It sounds like
you get to lead them around,
with this some weird ventriloquist dummy shit going on.
Yeah.
Oh well, see, now that changes the whole question.
Yeah, if you're knuckled up inside some celebrity's butt with a Headmeta butt plug, like you're gonna and you're just leading them around town, like I don't know. I'm gonna go with Barack Obama because that's gonna be funny.
Okay.
Like I'd be like, oh yeah, look at, this is Headmeta, motherfuckers. Like, I'm gonna do that shit in public. I'm gonna do shit where people can see it. I'm probably gonna go to jail, or I maybe I'm not. Maybe they're gonna do their best to cover it up. But I'm gonna be walking around, and his butthole is stuck to my fucking right hand. And then I guess if my right hand gets tired, I can switch over to my left hand because he can't unvacuum lock, but I can switch hands. And I'm like, President of the United States.
Thanks, Obama.
And I'm probably going to squander this opportunity by just parading him around and being all, hey, Obama's hanging out with me. Check this out. And he was just like, dude, get the fuck away from me. I'm like, yank on it. And he's just like, ah! And then he'll conform. And like, I'm not going to try to get away with any political agendas or anything. I'm going to be like, oh, legalize weed everywhere. Like, you know. Gay marriage for everybody. I'm just gonna fucking yank him around by his butthole and see what happens. So, like, you know, I have that shit all over the press. They're like, I don't know who this guy is. This guy looks like a bag of shit from the desert, but apparently he's leading our president around by his asshole. And we don't know how to deal with this shit.
I'd love to see that debate. Just Kevy sitting next to him on the floor with like a tablecloth draped over him and smoke's just coming out of him and he's smoking and drinking.
No, and I'll grab him every once in a while. Like, I'll yank on it and he'll be like, oh shit. And he'll like put his fucking ear up to my mouth and I'll be like, oh, tell him, the night is dark and full of terror.
I'm gonna do it, and then you'd be like, "Oh, what the fuck is that?" And I'll yank on the plug and be like, "The night is dark and full of terrors." Shit! It's like, I feel like that's what I would.
Wow.
Anybody else?
I think I've got to go with somebody. Smaller and that. Lighter than President Barack Obama. Because I feel like that's going to just...
Obama.
That's just going to start, like, hurting my arm after a while from, like, carrying this person around.
You don't carry him to have legs. you just get the guy... Like, I mean, I promise you, their legs are going to go wherever you take them. If they're vacuum locked by their butthole... Like, there are very few people on the planet, I think. Like, I mean, aside from a few porn actresses, it'll be like, oh, whatever, fucking handle it. Like, there's going to be a lot of people on the planet that are just going to go wherever the fuck you tell them to. But you don't really have to, like, bear the weight. If you just pull a little bit, I'm pretty sure their vacuum-locked asshole is going to go wherever you take them.
Interesting. Well, I think regardless, I'd already made up my mind on this. I wanted something lighter, and I also want somebody that's going to kind of distract the public from the
like
fact
you could pick
that,
up and like carry on. Like
me, I mean, not that light. I'm not taking midgets.
They're
like,
dense and heavy.
They're heavier than you think.
I mean, Kevin was so concerned about his possible porn career earlier on the question. It sounds like he's looking for business opportunities in these Twitter hole questions. I'm kind of surprised he didn't take a midget so that he could just start up one of the best ventriloquist acts ever. That being said, I want to go with somebody that's going to distract from what's going on. Someone's going to draw attention away from the fact that I have a butt plug attached to my hand.
Plug in their butt.
Yeah, so I think I have to go. I mean, if I go with, I'm gonna go with Taylor Swift because no one will be looking at me or the situation. No, they'll all be looking at her.
Looking at you and the situation, because if you're dragging Taylor Swift around by her butthole, like there's barely anything to like hide your hand. Like, you're literally again gonna be able to pick her up and take her on a plane as carry on.
She's pretty tall, dude. She's like 6'3". Okay, so that being said,
no, that said, my ass, Marcel, and yourself, and David not answered.
I don't care. Move on to next.
I'll take a chance. So, I think the best way to approach this, as TFG has stated, that there are business opportunities to be had here. I would choose Chris Angel, none other than illusionist extraordinaire. Because I'm telling you, when I get in front of Penn and Teller and he pulls the frickin' red velvet carpet away from me, everybody is gonna be aghast. How did that get in there? I'm telling you, it's gonna be gold.
And you could probably also levitate off the ground while he's still, like, attached to your hand.
Oh, my God.
It's like a fucking
fly.
It's like a kite. Got it. It's like a Chris Angel kite. That's fucking sweet. Like, because you know he's not going to drift too far or anything. Like, it's vacuum locked.
This is, like, gone bad. Gumby, I don't even know if you want to take a shot at this one or you're just staying clear of anal leakage.
I'm not even halfway through this bottle of vodka yet.
Well, something's wrong. What's up?
I'm making this drink right now that will put us halfway through this bottle of vodka.
See, what I'll do is I'll put it into the Twitter hole and then walk around with the Twitter hole and then I'm Ian Poten.
I was just going to say Natalie Portman because she's tiny and she's hot. So
not a bad answer. Not a bad answer.
All right.
Man, getting all serious about this, like, oh yeah,
that
like...
was serious, Jesus.
all right, next question.
Here we go. What? I don't even know what this means. Some of these questions are just bizarre. Shit. Let me see. See, look, even Booze Cube, he was aware. He had like several follow ups. He's like, 13-inch plus dick could lead to a very lucrative porn career. Kevin Metal is on your brain train, my friend. Moving up. Okay. What? Depends on the definition. Okay. Define your... What does that even mean? All right.
This is
This is funnier than answering the actual.
Because you got to read them really quickly, and you're just like, "What on earth does this even mean?" Depends on the definition of shitting your pants. So, how much feces per win does it stay in the pants? Ah, I see. That's right.
It's from Booze Cube. It's like you have a permanent emblem with
that's
shit
right.
your pants. You win the match. How would you use it? XO a GP or PT?
That was the one.
So, if you get to win a game by shitting your pants,
that's easy.
I don't know.
Yeah.
No,
PT, right?
His question is, how would you use it? I feel like it would be like round one, so I could just shit my pants and go shower it.
Kevin's got a plan. Long lunch breaks all the time.
Yeah, I think that you have to have more information on this. Do you have to do it at the beginning of the match? Because like you can play the match. If you're winning, you just win. And if you're losing, you're like, oh, I got this.
It's an emblem that you choose to use when you want to use it. It's like a.
That's what I'm saying. I would shit my pants whenever I was losing a match.
Yeah, but you only get one.
But would it
no,
be
you
have an
no,
emblem?
That's
see
not,
what Kevin's saying.
Say that shit.
Was
maybe
Kevin
only one
saying
pair
if
of
you
pants.
Shit all day. If you shit all day, then you don't have to play Magic and you just win.
Ooh. See, that's what I'm saying. I could actually just shit my pants round one, and then like I could just move to the next match. Like I mean, I might have to deal with this, but so are you. And like, I move to the next match. You'd be like, "Oh, Judge, this guy smells like shit," and I'm gonna be like, "I've been told that all day," and I'll go into my best fucking pouty expression I possibly can without laughing, and be like, "Oh, I've been being told this all day, and I feel like I'm being bullied. Like they say I smell like shit," and the judge is probably gonna be like, "Oh God, this guy does smell like shit, but do I really want to call him out on it, or am I gonna look
your
like
pants
a
all day? They're gonna tell." That
no.
you're covered in shit.
Dude, you
no,
get
you
to wipe
to your
ass.
Your
come on now.
No,
we don't live in
you,
a barn.
No, you only get to shit your pants once. So you do it round one. So everybody, and you just deal with it all day. Like it's just there in your pants. And it's going to smell like shit all day long. I feel like they could at least get me to day two. And then I'll take a shower and be like, day two to fucking GPE.
Number two.
Asshole.
It really won't bother you because it's your own shit. It's like when you take a fart, it doesn't really stink
take
that bad to you. But it stinks for everybody else. So it's like, you know, fuck
it's,
you.
It's somebody else's pants.
I love how Marcel throws that in there. She's like, fuck you, bitch. He's the best. That is awesome.
No, like, I get what he's saying.
You're fucking up my shit, don't. Man. Fuck you, bitch. He just shut Kevin right down. Because he doesn't matter what he says. Like, man, this bitch interrupted me, man. It's like straight out of 1970s, like Afro Kung Fu movie, man. Like, man, fuck you, bitch.
Man, fuck you, bitch.
Motherfucker, I'm going to take a fart on your head. I'm going to take a fart on your head.
No, shit yourself round one and just deal with it through the rest. Because, like, if you're going to shit yourself round one, you're going to have to deal with it through round one. You might as well just deal with it for the rest of the day. Because if it could gain you an advantage, fuck it. Like,
you want ants?
Let it roll.
That's how you get them.
No.
And you adapt.
I don't think that's
See,
how you get them.
You get used to the smell. So by round like four or five, like you're going to be like, whatever, I don't give a fuck. You know?
Yeah,
and then, your opponent's...
Kevin works in Trona. He'll get rid of that. He'll get used to that shit quick.
I don't work in Trona yet.
And see, Kevin likes attention, so everyone's going to know Kevin. He's going to walk around the room, and they're going to be like, hey, there you go, shit pants right there.
Hey, I shit my pants, dog! Like, I probably would have a Teespring or,
Teespring
like,
shirt. Hey, does this shirt suck shit or me? I don't know.
Yeah, I'm going to have a Teespring shirt that's just like, oh, I know this is misfit.
No, Kevin, the t-shirt has to be, it's a Teespring shirt. What's shittier, me or the t-shirt? That's fucking horrible.
And it's just got lines. They had no idea, and they're like, "Yeah, let's print this shit up." And then like it's too small, and it's got lines through the printing, and it's in like pink and salmon, and like fucking instead of red and black. Like, yeah, they'd be like, "Oh, that's a good question." And they're gonna be concentrating on the shit smell and my fucked up T-shirt, and I'm gonna win the match with mono red yet again.
That was the shittiest question we've ever had on this episode. I'm sorry. I'm jumping up the list here. Joe Reeves, I am Crazy Joe. Good old time travel question for us. Sam Beckett. He just says, Sam Beckett, quote, quantum leap into your past. What does he strive to put right that once went wrong?
I don't even know who Sam Beckett is.
I don't either, but apparently Quantum Leap was a show from the 90s.
I remember that show. I don't know who Sam Beckett is, but I'm assuming it has something to do with, like, Beckett,
the baseball guy or something? Or maybe a car auction?
The Beckett grades fucking cards. And so I'm gonna go ahead and say he's like, you didn't get a Black Lotus in that pack. Let's go ahead and give you that from back in the day.
I did the JR.
Wikipedia. Oh, did you?
Dr. Sam Beckett is a fictional character, the protagonist from the science fiction television series Quantum Leap.
Is that how JR gets all his intelligent shit? Does he?
Hey, if you can read and regurgitate.
I can't do that. I don't know how to regurgitate.
Marcel is made for podcasting.
Okay, so.
At least you.
All right, I was just going to say, so Sam Beckett is a fictional character, Kevy. This is how it works. Now it's all coming back to me in flashes. Your life is fucked up. Yeah, your life is fucked up. He jumps into...
Yeah, so, no, help. Quit telling me.
Sam Beckett jumps back into your body. So his penis, he goes into your body with the nipple penis.
Is, you trying to say his penis is going to enter your life.
You figure out what went wrong the second he jumped into my body. So Sam Beckett jumps into my body. I guarantee you what he's going to do is he's going to go and he's going to say, remember that time you rolled that D20? You got 20-inch nipple penises? I got to fix that. We are not rolling that dice. Hands down.
Yeah, but now he's like Quantum Leap style. He's got to figure out how to unmake that role.
That's
like,
true.
You can't just keep quantum leaping back. It's like, how, if this dude jumps into your body right now, how is he going to make your life better? I feel like if he jumps into my body right now,
he dies from alcoholic shock instantly.
The learning curve is too high for him. Like,
why doesn't these limbs function?
Exactly, Marcel. It'll be the end of the fucking series. He jumps into my body, he's all, oh god, Jesus Christ, you drink way too, and then falls over dead. And then I take my body back over, and I'm like, yeah, that's right, bitch. And then I keep drinking vodka.
TSG, what point in your life is he fixing the most?
The time that I took a job with Channel Fireball.
That's beautiful. Shots
fired over the book. Gumby, is that the time you, is that before or after the time you grappled the hooker?
I totally missed the question, so I don't know. What are we talking about? Who?
If you had something you could change in your past life.
It's the guy from, you know the show Quantum Leap, Gumby?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so if the dude from Quantum Leap jumps into your body, what's he going to fix?
What's he going to fix? I don't know whether you listen to that episode where I talked about all those fucking injuries that I took. Fuck, he can go through all that shit, not me.
Yeah, there you go. He can take all your fucking injuries. Well, no, I don't think
it works.
He probably has
a high
enough IQ to be like, I don't think I'm going to do that.
I feel like he shows up right now and then he's just like, oh, I'm going to fix things from here on out. And I feel like that's kind of an invasion of privacy anyway. Like, it'd be like, oh, hey, man, like, I could probably fix those things better than you can.
Fuck that motherfucker. It's all the stupid shit you do is that makes you who you are.
That's right.
It is fucking true.
If you don't realize that,
it's your mistakes that you build upon.
Nah.
Fuck whatever that.
You learn way more from fucking up than you do from doing
and
something
right. Let me tell you, we've learned a lot.
But...
Wait, I am a learned man.
Wait, with that logic, how have I not won a Pro Tour yet?
How have you not won a fucking Nobel Peace Prize?
That's true.
I
mean, you do have your ass up You have your ass up Obama's fist? I was gonna say, what the fuck?
Or you might be lucky enough to have a friend like Kevy that you can learn from his mistakes.
I was watching a fight and a hockey game broke out.
Don't fist Obama's ass. If I could tell you it's anything, don't fist Obama in his butt with a butt plug, because it's not gonna work out the same for you guys like it did for me. Like, I'm a semi-famous bad magic player, and I'm a
you know what I could just see now, Sam. Hold on.
I'm also a not famous rock and roll musician. So learn from my mistakes, kids. Don't put your fists in Obama's ass.
I love how you put the little stank on that. You know what would be great? Sam Bega jumps into Kevy's body the day before he flies out to Portland, and he's like, oh my god, I don't know how I'm gonna fix this guy's life. It can't get worse than this. And then Portland happens.
He's all, hey, I could just learn how to play magic on the plane, and then, like, I don't know, maybe takes down GP Portland instead of just the debauchery.
Instead of banging dicks on tables.
And then everybody, like, you know, realizes how good of a magic player I am, and then, like, his, you know, whatever spirit or whatever it is that happens, like, leaves my body. And then I'm just all, oh, shit. I guess I'm good at magic now. I'm going to go back to lightning bolts and then continue losing magic games. So it wouldn't have done anything.
All right. Well, okay, here's
it. Sorry, I bummed you.
That's totally bummed out, man. Okay, I haven't seen this guy before, so huge shout out to Kyle Steenbergen. Stenbergen. I'm gonna say it's Kyle Stenbergen. At cool. Cool god, man. Must be Swedish. Alright, his question is, best video game soundtrack of all time. That's easy. It is
Mega Man 2.
Oh, Chrono Trigger.
Come on. Wipeout. The first Wipeout.
That's a good one.
PlayStation 1. Wipeout.
What are you talking
about? Yeah, what? Man, that soundtrack was crazy.
Come on.
Oh guys, no. You have no idea. You're talking about it. Head all the shit out.
Actually, I didn't play it enough to know.
Well, then don't be hating on my shit.
Haters gonna hate.
All right, Kevy, best video game soundtrack all time.
Oh god.
He's
damn
like,
it,
is I, Captain Power a game?
Mega Man 2, though.
Mega Man
2,
all right.
What?
Kung Fu from Nintendo?
Oh,
you know how many times you had to die? Mega Man 2 made you go ad nauseum and wanted to continue.
No, I actually have a real answer for this, but I have to look up the fucking game. God damn it.
Mega Man 2 is alright. What is wrong with
Come on,
you?
Man. It's like, the soundtrack is alright, but it wasn't like...
That
We're
was
talking...
The,
yeah, there was the no Wipeout for
Actually, even Raid or Ridge Racer also had an amazing soundtrack, and a huge... Huge
what
shout out.
What's wrong with your childhood?
Huge,
why were you
oh,
playing
Oh, man, they were the
games?
Best. Daytona from Sega Saturn had a six
Oh,
ending.
My God.
Blue skies. Come on, man. Rolling start. I had a Japanese
you know
guy,
what?
Like,
Most
singing.
People are going to be listening
actual,
to this podcast.
The actual
and be
voices.
Going,
good soundtrack has no voices whatsoever. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
That's when video games went to shit. From that point forward. It's got to be BitTunes. BitTunes, baby.
I just took
video
a
video game hipster.
Okay, I got either I googled it and figured it out. It's either Apocalypse. I can't talk.
That was a good game.
Yeah, Apocalypse on fucking the original PlayStation, just because it had a Poe song on it, or Gran Turismo 2, the original, because of the Cardigans fucking song on it.
Oh yes, Gran Turismo 2. I remember that. That opening sequence was awesome.
My favorite game from the Cardigans was fucking amazing.
That's a great
game.
And
I still to this day listen to that song on my shit.
I mean, should bad games count?
It doesn't matter. It's the soundtrack.
Yeah.
The game can be total shit.
Yeah, they can be bad games. It's just the game.
I'm just making fun of the games that fucking Maddie was.
Oh, you're just the trash hole. Just a fucking trash hole right there.
Top Gun on NES, because it had the like the shitty digital version as
oh my God. That guy, the hairs on my arm is standing up listening to that.
Yes,
oh, man. No greater feeling as a kid, the ending of Top Gun. You're just like, what? Come on, man. Iceman.
Oh. Like, shit, that's Tim Robbins in the background. That motherfucker is going to be legit as an actor later
on.
Yeah,
that's what I'm thinking. That's exactly what I'm thinking. I'm thinking...
Eight-year-old me speculated on actors all the time.
Don't get me wrong. I swear to Christ, I've watched Top Gun more times than every single one of you, even knowing your age demographic. I've watched Top Gun more times than all of you combined.
I'm clocking at least over 40 viewings. Maybe 45.
Oh, wow.
Oh, no, yeah, exactly. Wow. And I feel like you're
what?
A clown.
What?
I've watched Top Gun since 19... Top Gun was the first fucking thing I ever saw at a fucking movie theater, and I mean drive-in movie theater. And I've watched Top Gun, I'm not exaggerating at all whatsoever, at least 300
Bullshit.
Times in my life.
Shit.
And
Bullshit. 300 times.
Christ, I've watched that movie.
Bullshit.
I've watched that movie more times than any other.
How much do you know by heart?
I mean, I could get.
I mean, my brain.
Now, I could get into scenes. right now, I don't know if I could even get into
His brain doesn't work like that. If it's not geography, it doesn't.
The internet.
We see the limitations.
You'll see, because like Top Gun is going to be one of the side events.
Top Gun, lines repeating. Let's do this.
Hey, so I got a Twitter hole question for you guys. What video game would you want to be remade in HD?
Wait. Is this just upgraded graphics or completely remade?
Upgraded graphics and say updated
like
controls.
So like totally remade, badass.
Not totally remade. You keep the
gameplay elements, but they make it better.
You make it modernized, so you know you wouldn't. You wouldn't lose any of
the original feel,
but you make it better. You would tighten it. So say if there's a very loose game, you know.
I got it. One of the best games I think I ever played was the Star Wars fighting game. I can't remember the damn name of it, but that game was amazing. Where you could be like Luke Skywalker with a lightsaber against.
Oh, it's from the first PlayStation.
That game was insane.
It was like Battle of Nar Shirar
or some shit like that. Nice memory. That game was absurdly good. I would play that right now.
And the graphics were pretty fucking terrible.
Yeah, but when Darth Vader would force choke the guy and like slam him into the ground, it was pretty dope. I liked it. That game was awesome. Kevy is obviously Top Gun.
Mine's probably a toss up between like Baseball Stars for the original Nintendo. Played the shit out of that game.
Not the Baseball Stars one, the other one with like the
Base
robot.
Wars. Yeah, Base Wars.
Base Wars! Oh my god. Base Wars!
So either that or one of my favorite video games of all time that could really use a nice little bit of an upgrade would be Dark Forces 2 Jedi Knight. If you especially want to talk Star Wars, that game was fucking amazing.
Interesting.
I want your guys' memory.
I'm gonna go with NES's DuckTales. Like that was
my my god, they just got an HD upgrade, dude. I bought that shit. It was awesome.
Did they? Oh god damn it. Now I gotta go buy that. Shit!
Yeah, it's actually awesome. It's got everything.
That's just a great
game. Yeah, I thought Kevy was trolling us there for a second.
No, that's a good game. Like that was one of my favorite games when I was a kid.
Only game that came to mind for me was Toe Jam and Earl.
I never got to play.
I know
that
there's
game,
dirt,
actually.
Dude.
That was actually really cool. I like
it. It is the ultimate stoner video game.
Toe Jam and Earl
And I've only smoked weed twice in my life.
Okay.
I love it. He just throws
whatever.
That out there.
What? He said ultimate stoner game. It was my game. Fuck you guys.
Man, fuck you, bitch.
See, I would go with the original Twisted Metal.
I hope you know that one of the side of it for GP Crest is grappling.
No, what?
First Twisted
Metal. That was amazing. Or Destruction Derby. That was another game.
That's the one we got the, like, Sweet Tooth, and you had the cars fighting against each other with rockets, and you could ride.
Yeah.
It was on PlayStation.
That was fun.
It's a re-
good. That was a good one, dude.
Yes. Damn it, everyone else, I keep thinking of them all. Ooh, ice hockey from the original Nintendo. Oh, wait. Ooh,
every year.
Like 20 of upgrades. And then I'm like, oh wait, there's got to be another one. And then
the simplicity of old sports games can be very alluring. Like, yeah, I like my baseball simulators to not be very simulated.
So,
Ken Griffey Jr. baseball on the NES, let's do it.
Yeah.
About Blades of Steel?
Blades of Steel, yes.
One of the best early sports games ever was Joe Montana's football on fucking Sega.
Tecmo Bowl!
Tecmo Bowl!
Oh my god. Oh.
No, I still feel like the fucking the battle baseball bot fucking thing. I don't know, we just said it a minute ago, but I think that's something that really get a fucking over.
Battle baseball bots of butter.
We were just talking about. We were talking about that with Tom Rohn on the other podcast not too long ago. Dude, love that game.
Base Wars was the shit, and then you could like port that into every other game. I mean, hockey's going to be pretty much like you're not going to play hockey anymore. You're just going to hit each other in the face a bunch with lasers and tanks and stuff. But like any other sport, you could port that shit in, and like it would work the same way. But I think baseball works well because, you know, baseball inherently is kind of. All right, it's slow-paced, you know, so we add robots with weapons, and, like, you know, every time you're trying to fucking take a base, now you got to get in a fight. I mean, we could do the same shit with golf. Golf would be awesome. It's all, oh, look, you're on the green. No, you're not. And then there's tanks. Like, that's a great idea.
Or like NBA Jam style, but with guns.
Ooh.
Pew, pew, pew. Yeah! Yeah, like a 50 caliber machine gun mounted to the top of the backboard. And it's like, oh, yeah, you might make this dunk. but then again, you might not. Like, I mean, we got to keep it balanced. It's like computer controlled. Like, it's not like, oh, I just get to shoot you while you're trying to dunk. It's like, oh, cool. Well, you got to make it through the spray, like Laura Croft style. Like, you got to fucking time it right so you could dunk. And then there's this 50 caliber machine gun just spraying across everything. I feel like it's a good idea. I feel like we should take this on Shark Tank, too.
Shark Tank, video games remade by Heavy Meta. Come on, guys. That's instant value there.
See, this is the kind of the quality of entertainment you guys get out of me when I'm this drunk.
Now, we're going to try something a little new. If you scroll down to Bruce's question, he doesn't have a question for us. He has a request, and the request is, can we get a dramatic reading? Of Will of Zedru. Now, I assume he's asking me to read this lovely thing.
So
I don't even know what it is. I don't even know what it is, honestly. It's just a bunch of words on a page. So I will leave it up to you guys. Which one of my amazing, talented voices would you like to hear this poem be read in? The Beaver? Holy shit, man, I can't do the Beaver's voice.
The Mother Beaver, you just came back from the Mother Beaver. You're a disciple of the Mother Beaver. How do you not?
Did Marcel teleport to another dimension?
It's old school. Do you remember when Kevin would get all Roboto voice and he'd be yelling at us and he'd be like, fuck, you guys, assholes? And Marcel he got a little phase, man.
You gotta do it in that voice, obviously.
Obviously, the weed. Marcel smoking weed so powerful, he teleports. I mean, this is dope right there, man. I'm
actual
dopeness. Dope. Actually, I don't know if this is actually gonna be that good, but Zedru the Goathead.
I don't know whether I'm behind the arrogance that you assume he was talking about.
Well, hey, Gumby.
I feel like we should feed this. I feel like we should feed this right into Gumby now.
Oh yeah.
Like,
yep.
Gumby.
Done.
We should just be like, oh, Gumby, read
go.
This.
Where's the link?
Twitter.
Hold it where?
All right.
All right, I'll set the tone. Ready? Da, 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 da. The mist settles over a darkened plain. A goat with 2 feet and a weird crumpled horn emerges holding a lantern. And he says...
I'm so fucking drunk. I don't even. I'm trying to pick a voice for this.
No, we got
He's
this.
He's a goat,
we
man.
We got this. You can do it.
That is the real Alessandro.
Okay. Hey, you can do it!
It says dramatic, though.
That's the real Alessandro.
Alright, yeah, you go. You go.
Well, I was just setting the tone, man. No,
keep
no,
going!
No, it's all you, bro.
No, keep going!
I'll tell you what. I'll do it in the voice of Antonio Banderas. Done? Ready? Let's go do it. Here we go. Alright, Shrek. Shrek. I'm the cat. Okay. It is the will of Zedru. It is the will of Zedru that you should have this howling mine. Take it. I bequeath it to you. While you possess it, it shall draw both of us extra cards. I am going to gain a life now. It is with the will of Zedru that you shall have these goblin cadets. May it serve you well, though. Although they flinch in battle, they occasionally reach through to an opponent. Like Selma Hayek. I want you to have them, but I want to be over there drawing extra card. Is it the will of Zedra that you should have the rest of this sandwich? Do you want the rest of this sandwich, Shrek? I would have even eaten half of it, but it is turkey, and I do not like turkey. But, right from one near college, is the will of Zedra that you should take the sandwich and finish most of it? Take it. I insist. It immediately. I will be over here gaining extra like. It is the will of Zedra that you should have this parking ticket? I have obtained it from downtown. How do you interrupt greatness, you arrogant fox? Come on, that was fucking good. You gotta give it to me. I was kicking ass there for a while. No?
Keep going. Hold on.
I don't even know where this goes. This is a long fucking poem. God damn it.
I know.
It is the will of Zed.
That was probably the best.
Come on, that's pretty dope, man.
That was the best goddamn impression you've ever done in the history of heavy metal.
It is the will of Zed. Thank you. Come on, that's dope. I use that voice.
Man, the mother beaver.
The first thing she asked me was like, "Let me hear your Italian voice." I was like, "Okay," and she's like, slaps me with her tail. It's like, you will learn Spanish right now.
It's weird that pronunciation sound. It sounds. You guys remember Grand Theft Auto 3? Like they have the radio stations.
You are a piece of shit. That is exactly where I got this from.
Yeah. For Grand Theft Auto 3, there was that guy Fernando.
I love it when your ass gapes like that.
Oh my god! I think I'm gonna throw up.
Exactly what that sounds.
Oh my god! I don't know. Maybe if there's like a soundtrack to Zorro, it's playing right now. And
that was fucking perfect.
It is the will of Zedru.
don't you say yourself short.
It is the will of Zedru. That is the name of this now. Oh my god! What is this? This poem is insane. It talks about like venereal diseases at the end. I don't even know. Just some weird good.
Oh my god. I heard Shrek and turkey sandwich, so I really don't know what.
Well, I took some liberties, like any good actor. I took some liberties.
I took some liberties.
Oh my god!
I thought that the performance needed something to ground the character. You know,
Maddie, don't you ever sell yourself short. That was an amazing performance.
You're all fucking whores, you bastards.
No, dead serious. I'm not lying at all.
Should have been an actor.
Oh come on.
That was the best Maddie story impression voice I've ever heard.
Oh my god!
I could go back
and I could tell the bird story as Antonio Banderas.
We've scoured the earth for fucking accents that you could do right, and for some reason
this is the one we've
Antonio stopped. Banderas.
I don't know what happened, but the bird, she has shat on my pants, so I screamed, yes. I don't understand why everyone is looking at me, so I raised my hand high in the air, and I screamed, no! I don't even know. Why are you looking at me in the mirror? I am trying to wash my dick in a fucking sink. Come on, that is good.
Oh my god. It hurts so good.
My pants, she's wet. I know. I will dry them on this dryer. Oh god, that's horrible.
My pants, she's wet.
Here I am. I'm shopping at a Walmart, and a young man is farting on a boy. What is going on here? Well, that's just horrible. But you know what? A reoccurring character, Antonio Banderas, folks. Welcome to the cast.
Oh my god.
Fuck you, San Diego.
I
don't even know. How do you say that? Go fuck yourself, you piece of shit.
I don't even know if it's like
it's not.
It's like Antonio. It's like Antonio Banderas.
Yes, it's almost like a French-Spanish Antonio Banderas.
Antonio.
Sometimes I jump in and out of an accent. I don't know. I cannot tell.
It's perfect, man.
Oh, it's horrible.
Oh, yeah, you need to change your Twitter handle to Antonio Banderas.
Antonio Banderas. Oh, my God.
Antonio Banderas.
I didn't think the reading of, yeah, exactly. Go be nasty. He's like, more drinks. Later. Oh my god. Well, you know what? That is how you exhaust, your hole, if you ever want to know, gentlemen.
If you ever want to know how to exhaust,
if you ever want to know, just take the hold of the last possible minute you do it with the Antonio Banderas voice. Antonio Banderas? That's right. Oh my god. But the Twitter hole is empty, unfortunately, and
soy un hombre muy honrado que me gusta lo mejor. A mujeres no me falta ni el dinero ni el amor. Jineteando en mi caballo por la sierra yo me voy. Las estrellas y la luna ellas me dicen dónde voy. Ay, 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 mi amor. Ay, mi morena de mi corazón. Me gusta tocar guitarra, me gusta cantar el son. Mariachi me acompaña cuando canto mi canción. Me gusta tomar mis copas, aguardiente es lo mejor. También el tequila blanco con su sal le da sabor. Ay, 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 mi amor. Ay, mi morena de mi corazón. Me gusta tocar guitarra, me gusta cantar el sol. El mariachi me acompaña cuando canto mi canción. Me gusta tomar mis copas, aguardiente es lo mejor. También el tequila blanco con su sal le da sabor. Ay, 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 mi amor. Ay, mi morena de mi corazón. Ay, ay.